someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Yep, it sure is. You wanted the best, you got the best. Ice Talk Show in the morning, anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we're broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. It's a great way to catch us, man. If you're visiting Orlando, you want to take us home with you, we'd love that. You do it on iHeartRadio. When you have iHeartRadio, you have the Monsters of the Morning and the entire radio station. If you have Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1, and it will do it for you. You also can say, Alexa, play the Monsters of the Morning podcast. We have our own podcast channel on iHeartRadio. It's pretty cool. It's got shows from 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, 2 years ago, all up there. And the little titles are actually fun just to read. Angel makes a funny title. So there, if you go there on the iHeartRadio, you'll be able to check it out. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program. And with everyone this morning, we're going to do this until 11 o'clock. Here's the GOAT Rugby Champion of Palatka, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Go, logo.
To my right, Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
Seven time, never stop, baby.
And comedian Ryan Holmes.
I'm the king of Denmark.
Here's the telephone number you can dial is 1-888-978-1041. That's how you call the show. We'll probably take some phone calls a little bit later on, definitely around trivia time. We got some great prizes at 7 o'clock to give away. An opportunity for you to win a trip for two to the iHeartRadio Music Festival. And that's happening around 8 o'clock, around 9 o'clock, but really all day long here on Real Radio 104.1. You just text a keyword to 200-200, and you can win. We haven't had a winner yet. I'm surprised, so we'd love for you to be a winner today. And you can text our show at 77031. And when you text us, sometimes we'll text you back. Sometimes we'll just read what you say on the air. And we already have people saying good morning and what's up and all that kind of good stuff. And we'll get back with you here in a minute or two on this beautiful Tuesday. We have something special to do around 8 o'clock. Let's see here. Is it Darren Soto? Is that his name?
Yep, Darren Soto.
He's running up against
Alan Grayson.
Yep. So he's going to come in, and we can ask a real serious political question.
Very hard hitting.
Actually, I was going to go the exact opposite way.
Yeah,
I was going to go exactly opposite of that. Let's see. And then we got the Detective Barb should be by today, and a bunch of other stuff. Carlos, you were out yesterday.
Yes,
it was your daughter's first day of school.
Yes, it was.
So you got to take her to. And what grade is this?
I have no clue.
Oh, you forgot what grade?
No, I think it's second. Yeah, it's second. No, yeah, of course, second grade.
Yeah. How was it?
It was awesome, man. I'm glad I've been there every single year, been fortunate enough to be there every single year.
Yeah.
And it's, I never knew, when as a kid, you're like, yeah, it's a big deal, first day of school.
Yeah.
But you don't realize it's a huge deal for the parents as well.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, you think the parents don't think about it, but it was really cool to see the kids and get them back in school and then my wife can have a life again.
Yeah, right. She can do what she wants. Yeah. And Jimmy, like you said yesterday, if you looked on Facebook, I haven't been going to Facebook as much as I used to, but yesterday I'm like, okay, I got a little downtime. Let me check it out. Oh, that kid's going back to school.
Yep.
Oh, that kid's going back to school. Yeah. Oh, school. I'm like, okay, that's what it was. Which is fine, you know. Look, these are moments that you want on your Facebook timeline to remember.
Not
you
me.
Go back
did,
to.
Did you not like the photos of the kids?
No, but that's all it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was
stupid
just
photos
a bunch of that. No, actually, I kind of enjoyed it. There were people that I've known for some time that, you know, I could see their kids are growing up. I'm like, wow, man, I can't believe, you know,
right.
This kid is that old now. It's crazy.
Yeah, like that one's kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a picture of her the other day, and I was like, my God, dude. She's like 6'3", can already dunk regulation.
I know. Yeah. Hey, what do you think about this? And this ties into, you know, a lot of you, your kids are going back to school. They already did yesterday. It's the second day. And it's funny because the relationship, I remember, you know, when I was younger, the relationship with our neighborhood and the bus driver that would drive us to, you know, Lockhart Junior High School, everybody liked Miss Rye, you know, but Miss Rye was in charge, and Miss Rye sometimes would have, she liked to be in charge. Let's just say that, you know, she was the authority, and you wonder how much authority bus drivers really do have. I mean,
right.
I guess on a bus, they can tell you to sit down and all that, but can they make decisions like this? Now, this is on Channel 6's website today. And, so a parent was a little bit upset and surprised because their fourth grader got to the bus stop. And when they got to the bus stop, the bus driver said, wait for the next bus. This bus is only for the boys. And she's like, what's going on? So she told her mom, she said, well, the first bus was only for the boys, and the second bus was only for the girls. And so she was like, and my friend, the friend that she has as a boy, was on the other bus. She wanted to sit by him, blah, 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 blah. So the mom goes to the bus driver to say, hey, what's the thing? What's going on? And the bus driver says, and I'll quote what it says in this article, bus driver says, well, we're separating the boys and the girls. Another bus is coming for the girls in a minute. And I asked him, well, what's this about? And she said, it's just something new, a new policy we're doing this year, just something new to separate the boys and the girls. Now, Channel 6 says they went to the school board. Who was the representative they went to? It says here they went to Volusia, Flagler, and Marion counties to ask about this. And they said, well, we've got no policy like that at all. So I'm wondering if it's just the school bus people got together.
It's a crazy school bus driver. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I would immediately have her removed. Well, I would have her terminated because she sounds crazy, kooky raccoon lady.
Yeah, it says here that
these buses are for boys and the next one's for girls, and that one's made out of licorice.
School district says that we do not have policy.
The school districts in those counties, so Volusia, Flagler, and Marion don't have that. Osceola does, and they've had that practice for quite some time.
Yeah, that's what it's saying right here. It's saying that they have that practice. It's not a policy, but it's a practice they've been doing to separate the boys and the girls.
What age is this?
This is the fourth. The young lady that was upset is her daughter's in the fourth grade.
Okay,
but I mean, you know, they don't just take fourth graders.
8, 9 years old.
I don't know. You guys have a.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Yeah,
yeah.
In that neighborhood.
I don't remember anymore what age you're in. But, you know, when they pick kids up from the bus, it's all age groups. You know, it's usually not just, one class. It's a bunch of whatever kids are in that neighborhood.
Yeah, because in fourth grade is fifth, sixth, and or sixth, seventh, and eighth is middle school. That's still elementary school, correct?
It is elementary school, yeah. And it says here that the practice has been done for well over 10 years. So it's something they've been doing. And I've never heard of this, to separate the buses by the boys and the girls. Before we cut it down, let's think, okay, what would be the positives of it and what would be the reasons why they'd want to do that?
Well, I mean, that's why I asked what grade, because I believe, when you get into that middle school, high school years, I mean, we all know what happens on the school bus.
Oh, yeah, it's in the back of the bus.
Oh, yeah, stinging crazy. but with the younger kids, that's what's kind of perplexing. I've never heard of that at that age.
Yeah, bus full of young boys sounds way worse than mixing them all together. The girls feel like they would calm them down at least a little bit. And it seems like this is really expensive for no reason, because now you have to have a second bus that does the same route.
Well, it says the buses are full, it says. It says we don't have a policy, but rather a practice. If the number of students at a bus stop exceeds the capacity of the bus, we divide the male-female, divide it by male, female, rather than alphabetically, as it's quicker for the driver to ensure that we know who is on which bus. The practice has been done for well over 10 years.
Okay. Wow.
Does that make sense? Okay, so you got a bunch of kids, and there's... I understand. So here you're the bus driver. You pull up. There are too many kids to get on the bus. So instead of going, okay, you guys fight for it, or we'll take the alphabetical, all the boys get on first, and then all the girls get on second. It's just easier as far as dividing them up. That makes sense, I think.
Yeah, when you think about it, it does kind of make sense. But, I mean, they're that full all the time? Or maybe this is just when that happens, obviously.
It says here, we don't have a policy, but rather a practice. If the number of students at the bus stop exceeds the capacity of the bus, we just divide them by male or female rather than going in alphabetical order. That way, it's quicker for the driver.
And shouldn't ladies get first? I mean...
They let the boys go first.
They should let ladies go first.
Ladies first. You're right.
Nah, it's 2018. Let them do it.
But this is typical of where we're at, right? So one mom who didn't get the email, who didn't get the flyer, gets all pissed off.
Right.
Goes on her Facebook.
Going there.
Does this whole rant.
The news shows up.
Local news.
Because they
don't have anything else to do, or more telling stories, because there was tons of stories involving traffic and traffic accidents and how that craziness was going on yesterday. They want to jump on this story and sensationalize it. It's one mom.
Well,
but one mom's pitching a fit about her little 4-year-old kid not riding the bus.
But she's
and then this local news story picks it up. Then we pick it up, and then I got a crazy guy texting in. Oh, it's all because of religion.
That's what we've devolved to. I'll tell you, this is what happened. I read the headline. I'm like, oh, this will be fun to talk about. I didn't read the rest. I'm like, the headline is separated by sex. Parents surprised to learn about all girls, all boy buses. That'll be a good topic. we'll get to it when we get to it. But now that I've read it, I understand. Okay,
but it's not even parents. It's It's one parent.
It's one parent. That's
and it's
upset.
Osceola County, and they're like, we've been
doing... The headline makes you go, oh, what's going on here?
It was like, we've been doing this for 10 years. our bad. Sorry.
My favorite text so far is the very last one that goes, how dare they assume somebody's gender?
Yeah.
Crazy, everybody's right? Ready to be mad, are they?
Weird hypocrisy loop you get yourself tied into when you try to regulate
it. But it is stupid, because if you go by boys and girls and the buses are full, whatever, you're doing the same route twice. Right. When you don't pick up half the kids on one route and half the kids on the other half of that route.
That's what they're doing.
But it's the same amount of people. It doesn't matter. It's volume by boys and girls.
It's volume, though. They've got so many kids that if they were to take up the kids, they would fill up that bus.
Right.
Yeah. So another bus still has to come back.
Right.
Yeah, but no, the first bus does the first half of the route and picks up both boys and girls, and the second bus does the second half of the route and picks up boys and girls. If you have them pick up boys, the whole route picks up all the boys, then a second bus does that same full route and picks up all the girls.
You don't understand.
It's metric system over there. I'm doing Danish math.
Imagine if you're the bus driver, okay? Yeah. You're the bus driver, okay? Yeah. And you have 20 seats on your bus that are available.
You pull up,
and there's 40 kids, boys and girls, 40 kids waiting to get on your bus.
But they're not all at one bus
stop. Yes, they are. That's the issue. That's the issue.
I only read the headlines, too.
So you've done graduated too, didn't you? From that night school.
I thought this was for like a full route, and they're only picking up the boys at the bus stops.
Negatory, King of Denmark. Well. It's if your bus pulls up to a bus stop and you got 40 kids to get, and you only got 20 seats. Instead of going, okay, we'll take the A, B, C's, D's, and E's. Instead of doing that, they're like, all right, it should be ladies first, girls first, boys in the second round. You know what I'm saying? That they had to split it up because there's not enough space on the bus.
Yeah, what we're saying is stick to monarchies and fjords.
Well, nobody said it was one bus stop, to be fair. I thought it was a bus route.
I think I did when I was reading it.
The very first sentence.
Because I remember riding the bus, and the bus ride is like 5 to 10 stops.
Is this guy combative at 6:12?
I'm saying, the very first sentence that Russ read, a mother in Osceola County took her daughter to the bus stop.
Bus stop, yeah. And it says, if we don't have, we don't have a policy rather than a practice, if the number of students at the bus stop exceeds the capacity of the bus, then we just divide them by male and female rather than alphabetical order. It's just quicker and easier for the driver and assure that we know who is on the bus at which time.
And
the practice has been done for well over 10 years and no one's ever had a problem with it. This mother, like Angel said, she's like, why are they boys and girls? I'm going to raise hell.
This is going to make it way easier for mass abductions, though.
Yeah, because then the guys driving by get to choose the gender and then pick them up faster.
That's a bus of them and a bus of them. You don't have to worry about calling them out now.
Oh, just wait. All the men will leave, and then we just have a bunch of women sitting there.
There you go.
Let's go.
Bus drivers have a weird amount of power, if I remember right from school. Like, I remember,
what I was trying to say about Miss Rice. She had some power that I don't know that she really had, but...
Come to find out, she has zero power. She just drives kids to school.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but they could punch a kid. They could hit a kid every now and then. You'd be like, well, I don't know. I guess they can.
Miss Rye had a paddle. I mean, if you get to Lockhart Junior High, she had a paddle. She'd pull it out, had holes in it, and we're like, oh, shut up.
Did you take Forrest Gump's route? I mean, Jesus Christ, they could paddle you?
Oh, yeah. Dude, in West Virginia, they paddle you in front of the class.
Bus driver?
No. The teachers would, though. I mean, but it's the same thing. And the bus driver just had the power of pulling over in the summer, which was enough.
It all depends on where you lived. I went to junior high in Texas, everybody, every adult had corporal punishment power.
That's funny.
So it was bus drivers, it was administration, it was teachers.
God.
Yeah, it was.
Carlos, when I was at Lockhart Junior High School, Mr. Gartman would walk down the hall with his paddle in his hand and had holes in it, so you knew it really was going to hurt. And he'd wave at you with his paddle.
What year was that?
It'll be 1977, 78, and 79.
That's when we still had steel dashboards and cars.
Yeah. It's just like, imagine like how far we've come from that. Like imagine a principal walking down the school with a ruler.
This was a made paddle.
Handmade beating stick.
Yeah, flat. It was flat. It had holes in it, and you knew not to mess with Mr. Gartner.
Our principal had one in high school. Here's the best part. Like part of our class was making their paddles. Like, we had wood shop, and part of the class is like, oh, yeah, who's you now? I'm making Miss Hughes paddle today. What does she want? Oh, she wants 18 ounces of Mean Fury wrapped in leather and holes drilled in it.
What was your school slogan? Work will set you free?
My God.
All right. We can take your text, by the way. We'll text you back. It's 77031, and don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
For
Orlando City defends their pitch versus rival Atlanta United FC next Friday. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9, The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio.
Check out the website at Monsters.fm. There's video from over the weekend. If you didn't see the Brew Bus video or the skating video that Ryan Holt put up from YouTube, they're both really, really good. And one of them, on the Brew Bus video, I addressed something that is very, very important about boner pills. And I'll just let you go see that at Monsters.fm. It's a message for Carlos. See it at monsters.fm.
I haven't seen this yet. I will only assume that it's you admitting massive amount of boner pill taking.
You'll have to go see.
We'll finally find out how many you can take and not die.
I have a witness that can tell the truth and sitting right there with me.
Three words for you, sir.
What's that?
Explaining is losing.
Well, sometimes you have to. Every single person on that Brew Bus was asking me about boner pills, and I don't take boner pills.
And they did so rightfully. The party started when you started giving those out.
That is not the truth.
They were walking into different breweries.
I had to stop. You almost cursed again. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, and Ryan Holmes, all here today. And check out the website at monsters.fm to see that stuff. And also, we're live on YouTube if you want to check that out. So we're talking about, I was thinking about stuff. Oh, man, I just remembered. You know, do you ever have memories that you're thinking about something and something pops up and you're like, oh, man, I forgot all about that. So going right in the bus, I remember it sometimes being like a status symbol, and then it turned into not as, like, if you ride the bus, you can't afford a car,
Bus
are for poor people. And then I remember when my mom started wanting me to take the bus. Right now, my mom and dad are your old school West Virginia 50s couple, been dating since the sixth grade, been together forever. Mom stayed home and took care of the house and the kids, and dad went to work, kind of a thing. And so I remember when I got into the seventh grade, you're getting on the bus, and I didn't want to ride the bus because, like, oh man, it's like, just like Jimmy said, all the poros ride the bus. And I remember telling my mom, you just take us to school, you don't do anything all day long.
Went over well.
Not popular.
Do you still remember that beating?
I remember feeling, they didn't beat me for that one, but I remember feeling really bad because my dad explained to me, you shouldn't say that. And your mom.
Now, look, son, we know that's the truth, but here's how you have to do it.
But I was like,
you gotta say it better.
I'm like, Mom, you got nothing else to do all day long. Come on, take me and Carla to school. I don't want to ride the bus because
we can't use those words anymore.
For some reason, I didn't want to ride the bus with everybody else because, you're a kid. You don't know. You're afraid you're going to be picked on by the older kids on the bus. There's a bunch of different reasons why you don't want to ride the bus. It's more than just the elite thing. It's just like, I'm afraid I'm going to get in a fight with a bully or something that. But the whole bus thing was always a big deal, and I'm sure it's a big deal for a lot of our listeners now that are going through it,
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, when I was a kid, that's all you wanted to do is get off the bus.
Yes.
You wanted to ride with somebody. You wanted to drive. Whatever. You catch ride. I actually got to take one of the most popular girls in high school to school every day because she lived out in a very rural area because her dad worked at the mill like everybody else, and she lived in a trailer like everybody else, but she didn't want anybody in high school to know that. So I would give her a ride to school every day. It was kind of funny. I'd pull up. She wouldn't even talk to me the entire way.
Yeah.
We would just drive into school. She'd get out, and I would just like, oh, somebody see me.
And hot girls don't ride the bus.
Yeah, hot girls don't ride the bus. No, their parents take them or drop them off.
They would rather walk.
Or when you get into high school, you're at that age where you could have a car. A lot of kids can't afford it or whatever, but some kids, whatever. And I remember going to high school the first year, and I rode in this kid. His name was Mike. I can't remember his last name, damn it. And he had a Monte Carlo. And I was like, ooh, that's the coolest car I've ever seen. And I got into Monte Carlo, and he had a tape. And he's like, listen to this new band. It's pretty cool. And
I'll never forget it.
And he puts in the tape and turns on as loud as he could with the best stereo system I've ever heard in my life. And it's a song called Back in Black. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what I want.
I just had a cream dream supreme.
I gotta go. What was his name? Mike something.
Mike Badass.
Yeah, Mike Badass. And he had a black Monte Carlo. And I'm like, this is the coolest thing in the world ever. I can't ride the bus anymore. That's for slobos.
I'm going to need some new Cavaricis after this.
Man, every bad interaction I had in school, like every fight or anything, was on the bus or at a bus stop.
Yes.
Yeah. It was trouble.
Yeah, there's nothing good about the bus. It's like Mad Max Thunderdome on wheels, man. It's not fun. So all your kids out there doing that, I'm sorry for
it. It's remarkable because, so my experience with riding the school bus, because I, you know, going up until about junior high, I was all... went to military installation schools. So we got to ride the like cool military buses to the schools on base.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I started going to school off the bases that I rode buses. And even then, it was buses that were coming from on base to go to the school.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but then as I got to high school, the best friend I had was Gene Orr. I remember him. He had a Volkswagen GTI. And that's how I rode with him every morning for junior and senior year. And that was the coolest thing ever, you know?
And you said something about the only time I ever did this, because after I did it, my dad said, boy, you never make an appointment for a fight. You never do that again. If there's a fight, you do it right there. I'm like, ugh. But there was one time I was in the seventh grade, his kid was in the ninth grade, and I'm going to beat you up at the bus stop. I'm like, oh, God. And you're sitting on the bus and you're freaking out. And like, oh, my God, it's going to be a fight at the bus stop. And then everyone's waiting around, for the fight. And everyone's all around. And Jesus. God almighty, that was...
Man, those were the days, man.
My bus driver stopped, I guess you can't do this now. This would definitely be new, but stopped and waited for me and a kid to stop fighting. And like while everybody on the bus watched the fight, she's like, guys, done? Get on the bus.
Oh, yeah, that used to be a common thing. Yeah.
So it was, like I said, like bus drivers have this weird amount of power that I thought they had in my head as a kid.
Well, they used to have it because there was no cameras. So it was their word against yours. Has a camera. So they are like, probably already autonomous robots driving there and back because they have to be. They can't even look at a kid funny without a lawsuit. Look at this lady. She got in the news. We talked about it. She just didn't read the paperwork.
Right.
And it blew up that bad.
Did you guys ever have an appointment fight after school, like
Road behind Apopka High School? That's where all the fights would happen.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really?
Yeah. After school, people would meet at Vic Road and just duke it out.
It was the hills for us in middle school. It was the hills, yeah. And I made an appointment with this guy. Shout out to Steve Roman. I'm still friends with him to this day. He was a giant. No. Thank God he pulled back. He didn't. He'd not want to fight. He was a giant dude. I don't know how it happened. It was like one of the first days of like, I don't know, sixth grade or something. He's like, you want to fight afterwards? I was like, I guess that's what you do.
I guess you're supposed to fight.
And then I think I talked my way out of it and we became friends because he would have crushed me.
I found out that wrestling moves, even though they people say they were fake, were real. Because if you do a pile driver on someone on the asphalt, it'll really hurt them.
That ain't good.
That was bad. And, you know, now, these days you could be sued for that probably. But
you can't really get in a fight now, especially with camera phones and everything. It's good and it's bad. Like, yeah. There's a version of, like, let little kids fight it out. And
then it's great if you win, sucks if you lose.
It's just so vicious now. I think, you know, okay, so now think about this. Did everybody here get at least one fight in school?
I got in
a couple. And
a couple scrapes.
And I could only imagine how much more I would have intensified my fake rage and anger if I knew people were filming me.
But yeah, exactly.
You
know, exactly. Really show
you
off.
You go to that next level. I'm gonna kill you, man! I'm gonna kill you!
But back then, like, we didn't think about someone could have a gun or a knife or anything like that. Yeah. Look, we're going to duke it out like men, you know, like what you're supposed to. Whoever wins, wins. Whoever loses, loses. And then you apologize afterwards.
And where I'm from, even if you picked up a stick or something, they would, if you want to fight using a weapon, you would be the biggest bitch in school.
I know.
It just wasn't like that. You fought hand to hand. If you lost, you lost. And most of the time, even if you lost a fight in our school, you would still get respect for doing it.
Yes.
Or at least going up against somebody. It was a weird thing.
Every kid, you live to fight another day.
Every kid I got into a fight with, I became friends with afterwards because they respected you for standing up because they were all older than me and they were all so they ended up being my friends in like football or wrestling or whatever which is so weird, but it's like that I respect that kid. He's, you know, he's man enough to fight or whatever.
There's something weird after you get in a fight with a guy, and there's like a level of camaraderie you have after that. It's odd.
It is weird. I remember coming home and I had an appointment fight. I was like, and I came home and it was a kid calling, and I was like, Mom, he called you a bitch. and my mom goes, you're not fighting, so what? I am a bitch. Oh my God. And that's what she said. I was like, oh, well, I mean, I guess I can't defend your honor.
I love it when you do your mom with the cigarette smoke, because I can see her talking when you say it.
That's so what? I am a bitch. Yeah. She didn't get it. I was like, damn. And then I go, well, yeah.
Oh, God almighty. Yeah, it's funny. The bus stop was where most of the fights happened. Now, I don't know if that's an issue now. I mean, I
bet it is. Totally. Yeah, man, that's the one kind of freedom place where there's no adults.
It's completely different. And nowadays, you go to any bus.
All the parents are there.
The cars are there. Everybody's there. It's a helicopter
park. Is that for high school, too, you think?
No, not with high school, though.
What happens with the high... And I will say this. In my neighborhood, where the high school bus stops are, it's not secluded. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's in front of...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so you couldn't really pop off there.
And I think every bus stop probably has a guy or girl that kind of handles that bus stop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's always like one alpha at every bus stop, whether it be male or female, who kind of regulates who can get into a rift or not.
And even though a lot of this sounds ridiculous, it's all primal, right? I mean, young buck kids, you know, fighting to see who is
the alpha of the herd, man. It always is, and with that,
and usually you're
showcasing for girls now.
There's that part, but you're also kind of doing the behavior that you're seeing with other adults. You know what I'm saying? If you're not good at problem solving, you're not good at talking to somebody, well, you're going to do what you see.
Punch them in the mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, I was just at my buddy Jay, who, this is really bringing back a lot of memories, obviously. But I remember we got off on, they almost got in a fight on the bus.
Yeah.
And they looked at each other and like, all right, at the stop. I got you. I got you. And I was like best friends with Jay. And he's this big Brazilian guy. He was a massive guy. And he was fighting this other guy. They get off on the stop. Jay beats the hell out of this guy. I mean, it's merciless. It's like, oh, and I'm like, oh, God. And then, like, Jay gets up, and he's like, are you done? And I'll never, ever forget this. And he goes, and he had blood dripping down, and I'll say his name is Greg. And he stands up, and he looked at him, and he goes, I'm going home. I'm getting my gun, and I'm shooting all y'all. And the place took off.
Oh, my God.
Like, boof. And he lived one street over
from
Jay.
That's a different kind of party.
We ran to Jay's house. We laid on the bedroom floor. The mom was like, Jay, what's going on? We're like, nothing. Just stay in the back of the house. It was scary as hell. Luckily, we were a bit proactive. We went to his house. He did end up having a gun. But we avoided it. But,
so that's advice I passed on to my son. Is to never make an appointment fight.
You're gonna fight right there.
Yeah,
man.
if you're gonna fight, you do it there. There's no,
avoid the fight. That's actually rule number one. I learned the hard way. Never got that rule number one put in there first, to avoid the fight with your communication skills.
But after my dad told me that, it is hard for me to understand, why would you make an appointment to fight? Okay, today after school at 3:30, we're gonna fight. It's like, oh my, because all day long you're freaking out.
Yep. But that was the first chance that you knew that there weren't going to be any adults around.
Also, that's
at the bike rack at 3 o'clock. It's on.
Yeah.
Also, that's the first lobbying to see how they're going to react. Like, it's the first bet in a poker game, right? Lou, you meet me,
and if
you're looking at somebody's eyes and you can see there's fear there, well, then you have...
Well, he ain't coming.
But yeah. if a guy goes, oh, yeah, bitch, how about we make it 2:30?
Like, oh, yeah, damn!
Then you did...
You just raised me!
Then you bluffed and got called.
Yeah, type
thing. I mean, I remember that happened a lot in school. Guys would, like, pop off, like Angel says, and get in somebody's face, and the guy would be like, that's cool. Let's go now. I mean, we had one really quiet guy.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember the dude's name. All I know is this. That guy could, like, spin back kick the bottom of a basketball net. It was crazy, but nobody ever knew anything about the guy. He was quiet. Nobody knew where he lived, even. And one of these big redneck guys I grew up with stepped to this guy, and he's like, right now. And the guy's like, well, I got welding class. and then he knew. It was, he could have stepped in it a little bit.
You know, and around that time, man, in 7th, 8th grade, all the testosterone.
You're trying to figure it out.
And almost anything, I remember for me, would make me pop off. And like, some kid flicked my ear and was a friend of mine. Flicked my ear and go, hey, pussy, how you doing?
Yeah.
And he was just kidding, but I didn't take it right. And there I am in a fighting English class. it's like, damn. But when you're that age and all that kind of stuff happens. So, a lot of parents are taking their kids to the bus stop today. And the bus stop is, you got to remember, for the kids, it's nerve-wracking because they've got to deal with all these other kids they don't really know. And how to associate with them and who's going to pick on who and bully who.
And you don't know what that kid just came from to go to school.
Exactly.
I mean? And you don't know what they're going home to when you drop them off. They probably get anxious like the end. Like, man, they're just going into hell when they go home from school every day.
That's what I tell my daughter. I'm like, look, you're going to encounter kids that don't have the same same life as you, where you get to go to bed at this time. You get to have food in your belly. You get to have, you know, we talk to you. We don't hit you. And you got to be careful about that stuff. And on a much better note, going back to first day of school, it is amazing. That is humanity at its best. We have adults from all different races, religions, creeds coming together to take care of kids they don't even know.
Right.
And they do a wonderful job at it. Yeah, we get some bad stories every now and then, but that's with every industry or career. And it always reminds me of that on the first day of school when I'm looking around and all the parents there and there's hustling and bustling. And I love that energy. And shout out to every single one of the teachers that are back to work.
Yeah.
And we respect what you do and much love.
Hey, remember, you can always email me, Russ@WTKS.com, if you have something that you want us to handle. I have a couple of those today, actually. It's something you want us to talk about on the air that is a particular situation you're dealing with. We'll be glad to handle those if you email me, Russ@WTKS.com. You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning. Thanks for listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Carlos and Angel and Dirty Jim and Ryan Holmes, all here today on this beautiful Tuesday. Today is Victory Over Japan Day.
All right.
It's
take that.
Yeah, take that, Japan.
Jerks.
I don't know why they still. It came up in my news feed. It's VJ Day.
Screw you guys.
And when it said VJ, I'm like, well, that's MTV, right?
Right. Alan Hunter.
Alan Hunter.
Just defeated the Japs.
Yeah. And then underneath it says, just so you know, it's victory over Japan, not your original VJs from MTV. I can't believe those guys still. I mean, they still have a job, you know, over on Sirius, all the 80s channel.
Oh, yeah, man.
And man, the one girl, Nina Blackwood.
Oh, yeah.
Old girl been smoking much she can barely even talk, and they still have her on the radio.
She could go to Scotland and blend right in.
Yeah,
continuously fighting a loogie.
She
was bad back then.
Not as bad as now. It hurts to listen to her.
So it's Martha Quinn.
Yes.
Alan Hunter.
Correct.
Mark Goodman.
Now, J.J. Jackson is not around. I believe he passed away.
Is he?
I think. I could be wrong. Daggone it.
That was it. That's the five, right? The five beginners?
The originals. Yeah. And they all were like DJs throughout the country, and they did this big big audition or whatever to find these guys. And, man, they kind of defined...
Superstardom.
They defined the 80s, you know, and then it kind of all died off, but...
How bad does she sound? Like Diane Reams bad? Or?
Oh, it is. It's really bad.
No, Diane Reams has a problem, dude. You psycho. Why would you do that?
Who's Diane Reams?
NPR.
Oh.
I understand Diane Reams. She has a thing. She gets steroid shots into her throat. I'm saying, does it sound like that?
Because
Diane.
No. Okay. God, you are such an ass. I love
it. Oh, I'm sorry that you love Diane Reams so much. My bad.
It's his Shania.
J.J. Jackson passed away.
That's what I thought.
In 2004.
Ah, God bless you, J.J.
At the age of 62.
He was my favorite. I like J.J.
How old do you think Nina Blackwood is today?
Nina Blackwood is older than me, so she's got to be 62.
62.
Booyah!
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I vaguely remember like these guys, and it's probably just because of like the 80s shows and stuff like that. The VJs that I remember come up was like Bellamy.
Oh, yeah, they didn't run. Yeah.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Dan Cortez.
Cortez. Yeah. Daisy. Daisy Fuentes.
Daisy Fuentes, yeah.
Had a huge crush on her.
That little Kennedy.
Her and I were friends.
That little bald guy.
Kennedy
like,
is now in politics, my apologies.
Crazy right-wing lady.
Yeah, the little bald baby that looks like the devil baby from Party City. What's the guy, the DJ? You know who I'm talking about? What's his name? The Headbangers Ball? What's his name? Matt.
Headbangers Ball, that was...
Matt Pinfield.
Matt Pinfield.
No, but before him it was Ricky...
Ricky Rackman.
Yeah.
Not Ricky Rocket. Ricky Rackman.
I used to get in trouble for watching Matt Pinfield's show. I think it was called The Buzz Bin. And it came on like 11:30 at night. And it had all the more extreme videos. And my mom would come in the room, "Why are you watching that MTV?"
At least they still got a gig, though, with the whole 80s channel. Yeah.
Here's some Nina Blackwood.
Today?
Yeah, she was just asked a question by a guy from the Huffington Post of did she think when they teed it up for the very first time if MTV was going to have this big of an impact on her life and just society in general.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is her response. I hope there are no curse words, so prepare yourself.
Not that first day, not at all. I think nobody really realized how big it was going to be, so it was kind of a gamble. And that's why we always say that we were a bit of pioneers.
She looks like Ozzy in 91.
I mean,
right
her,
now.
Her voice is really raspy. It was never that bad.
And it's even worse because during some of the interview shows back in the day with their live performances, they would be backstage interviewing artists as they came off stage and have to scream. And after about 2 hours of scream interviews with Nina, you couldn't hear. I mean, there was no sound.
Yeah.
It was just.
We were going into the unknown. But
I feel like it lived in her throat.
Because it's putting.
Now,
is that cigarettes? Is that what that is?
Oh, yeah. If not, it should be.
If it's not cigarettes, she's got some real problems.
Yeah.
But you can hear it as she breathes in. And that's an on-air personality?
Oh, yeah. And they have her on the 80s channel all the time, you know, because
oh,
it's all the original VJs. But, of course, VJ Day does not mean MTV. It means victory over Japan. What is Japan doing today? And is it okay to go to a Kobe today? Like is that okay?
Loser, we won free food.
do we all bow our heads when we go in? I don't know.
I don't know. Here. Kobe's not exactly representative of Japan because half the time I get a chef, he's clearly
Venezuelan, Puerto Rican, Mexican.
So when they sign after we dropped the bomb and then they signed the declaration that the war is over.
Yeah, Emancipation Proclamation.
No, some other thing.
Oh, not that one. Okay.
There was a ship. I think it was the U.S. Missouri. I believe my uncle
Missouri.
My uncle was on that ship when whoever the president of Japan was came and signed.
Oh, Emperor
Ming.
No,
that was a good
shot.
That's Flash Gordon.
That's also Chinese, not Japanese.
I agree with you.
Was it
Chiang Kai-shek or so? I don't know. I forget who it was, but
Shanghai-shek.
At least that staff wasn't racist.
Wow,
I forget who it was.
Holy smokes! Was his name Tojo? Emperor Tojo?
No, it was Peking Duck.
Who was it?
My uncle. We're going full 90s. Is that what we're doing right now?
My uncle was on the ship when they signed the paperwork, and he had pictures from my Uncle Paul. God bless you, Uncle Paul.
It's Fuji Nakamura.
No.
It was Yokozuna.
What was his name?
To all my Asian friends, I apologize. Yeah. I understand.
These are just the only
I'm
Asian
hanging out with Russ right now.
Oh, blame it on me.
I'm trying to equate with him.
I'm just saying.
Mind melding with him.
It's
a scary place to be.
A day to remember. It's victory over Japan Day. Now, I wonder, is this the day they signed the paperwork, or is this the day we dropped the bomb?
No. It's the day they surrendered, I believe.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because the Atom Bomb Day is not a fun day for anybody. So I don't know. My grandfather was in World War II and
right.
was in the Navy and fought against Japan and was mad at them forever. So it's good. I guess when you do that, you get to still be mad. I don't know.
It says that we're talking about the announcement that came on August 14th, 1945, which confirmed that the surrender of the Allies. So it's the day they surrendered.
But we would have dropped the bomb before this then, right? Because that's what caused the surrender.
Yeah.
So that would have actually not been that long ago.
Right. Yeah. It said estimate. About 80 million lives were lost in World War II. That's crazy, huh?
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Yeah, but that's
a third of our country.
It's a lot of Russians, man.
So it is a lot of Russians. That's why they built the Iron Curtain, because they lost more than half their population. They didn't want to let the rest of the world know.
A lot of Russians.
Today's the day they took that iconic photo of the sailor kissing the nurse in Times Square. You know that picture we've seen for many years? Today, that's the announcement that the war is over. So that's why today is Victory Over Japan Day.
He didn't even know her, right?
I know, he didn't. And they just had that couple on... I don't know, like Good Morning America or one of those shows recently, because they hadn't seen each other in a long time. And there was just a kiss, and then they both went on their own merry ways.
It was Emperor Hirohito.
Hirohito, that's right.
Yeah. Why was he so happy and excited kissing people? He was a sailor, and he was in New York.
I'm just glad the war was over.
I guess, but why was he in New York Times Square? He should have been working on a boat somewhere, right? No?
Well, you know.
Was it Fleet Week?
Maybe he's about to have to go out again to another tour or something. Who knows? But anyway, hey, if you want to win some stuff, you might want to get on the line. The telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041, or locally it's 407-916-1041. What?
Wait, if you had to name that segment, what would it be called? Nothing happened there. I don't even know what that segment was. I just kind of went to make my notes here. I was like, what the F was that?
Monsters Explain Victory Over Japan Day.
Yeah, that was insanity. First it was an interview with Nina Blackwood. Then it turned out being Emperor Husha Hasha Hasha, as Russ says.
BJs.
Yeah, he just picked something from the menu at Tao and goes with it.
We explain what BJs are. There you go. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
note.
Commercial break.
The government has now banned the carrying of spears.
Stop about every 1,000 miles, ain't asking too much, is it?
You might wish to stay on and listen.
It was a place where everything was legal.
I met this woman.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional help.
Thank you for joining us live on the air.
My pleasure.
One Nation, under God, has turned into one nation under the influence of one drug. Television.
Saving our love and affection for the completely unattainable.
Dear Scarlett Johansson.
Real Radio 104.1.
From
what's up, guys? The Triple R segment of 7 is brought to you by MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. It's Mike the Home Builder and MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. That's how you get hold of them. If you're having an issue with your roof, let's say recently there was some hail, and if you have some hail damage and you just need some repairs on your roof, my man Mike can do it for sure. It's MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. He also can do a whole entire new roof if you need that. So whether you need an entire new roof or just repairs, Mike the Home Builder can definitely help you with that at MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. If you still have a blue tarp on your roof, and there are people that have that. I saw a story the other day where these firefighters helped this guy who had a blue tarp on his roof for about a year. So they went and fixed it for him, which was very nice. But if you don't have those very nice people fixing things for you for free, you can call MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. He'll give you a great price. A fourth-generation contractor that can help you out. Very, you know, pays really, really close detail attention to detail. It's MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. When I have problems in my house, that's who I call. It's Mike the Home Builder. You'll love him. He's a great guy. MyHomeBuildersNetwork.com. Hey, welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim. Ryan Holmes, Carlos, and now Angel is going to tell you what we have in the prize pinata.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Cento Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. Fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Go to the website. That's CentoMoving.com. CentoMoving.com. You hit the start quote button. Let them know that you heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1 Monsters in the Morning. That's Cento Family Moving and Storage. Up first, we have a Wassies meat gift pack, including Wassies signature rubs. We have the classic steak rub, sweet and smoky rib rub, vintage sunshine, and the maple reserve. It also includes Wassies swag. You got a t-shirt and sunglasses in the gift pack.
Word. And don't forget, their big end of summer bash is coming up August 25th. There, it's a free party, customer appreciation day, lowest prices on Big Green Eggs all day long, free food, prizes, and drawings. It's a blast. I'm going to be there having a good time. I hope to see you there. 25th, make plans, Wassies, Melbourne.
Are you there hanging out, or are you going to be cooking? And
no, I actually asked them if they wanted me to cook this year, and they said, no, we just want you to kind of run prizes and stuff, just kind of hang out, welcome everybody to the new store. I mean, they made some expansions there. It's amazing.
On September the 13th, this band is coming to Orlando. They're going to be playing the House of Blues.
Who that? Hell yeah. Now, a little bit of Striper news for those of you who do love Striper, and there's a handful. Look, it'll sell out, so there's a bunch of people that do love Striper.
So, dude, listen up.
Oz, no, there are people that love Striper. Oz Fox had a seizure on stage and fell over, and I guess hurt himself pretty bad. And so,
did it knock his guitar in the tune?
No. Oh, you stop it. You loved Striper back in the day. But he actually
pretty easy target, though, you got to admit.
He had a seizure on stage, so they're doing the rest of the at least for the next couple months of the tour with just the three members. So Michael Sweet will be doing the leads and singing. So it's going to be kind of a different different kind of show.
Oh, so they're going to do a three-piece, huh?
They're going to do a three-piece.
Wow.
Yeah. But they say
didn't think anybody else could mask Oz's fire, huh?
I guess that's what it is. I don't know. They said
that's
gonna...
definitely not what it is. Just give you a heads up.
All right. So we got a pair of tickets to see Striper at the House of Blues, and that's going down September the 13th. Tickets are on sale right now. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information.
And those that win their tickets, we all can have a drink beforehand at the House of Blues, because I'm going to the show for sure.
Yeah, we're all
going
to fight in the bathroom afterwards, too.
I'm older now, and I don't fight in the bathroom any longer.
We have a four-pack, and this is a cool event and cool party. We have a four-pack of tickets to the Orlando Boat Show for this weekend, August the 17th through the 19th, at the Orange County Convention Center. Visit the Orlando Boat Show. Life is better with the boat.
Oh, yeah.
More information at OrlandoBoatShow.com. The reason I like going to this thing is it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I love to go to Dream.
Also called If I Won the Lottery Tour.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, talk about window shopping. You're just like, and some of the stuff that you're just amazed is like, all right, so they put that on a boat. All right, cool.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I love the boat show. It's fun to go and dream. And
there's so many good boat deals out there right now. I don't know why or how, but Boat Trader comes up on my Facebook feed, and I'll occasionally click on that. There is a Carver out there right now from the late 90s, 52-footer. And it is really accessible. You can't believe the boat is that cheap.
I was told by someone just the other day that you can buy your boat at a great price now because of the red tide. There are a lot of people that, you know, are
getting out of it.
They're like, screw boating because of the red tide, you know. But look, that's going to go away at some point. So, but yeah.
I'll tell them that. They're offering you a good deal.
Yeah, right.
Do those boat show tickets come with the Catalina wine mixer tickets?
You mean the
Catalina wine mixer?
The effing Catalina wine mixer?
It's a duper.
What's that? What's a Catalina wine mixer?
That's a stupid Step Brothers joke. And they were on a boat. They sang a song.
I remember that.
If you could have seen Russ's face as he's asking you this, because he was like, how does Russ know about a wine mixer, and I have no idea about it?
I would love to go.
I would love to get it sponsored by Ménage à Trois. It's the only wine I drink.
Only boat wine I drink.
All right, and then we're going to wrap it up with this. We're getting close to this event, and as we get closer and closer, you guys are going to get more little treats like this. We have a pair of Lower Bowl Monster Jam Triple Threat Series tickets. Yeah. Meet the driver, or driver meet and greet before the show. The Monster Jam Triple Threat Series showcase is happening at the Amway. We've got the Monster Jam trucks, the Speedsters, and the ATVs all inside the Amway. So Monster Jam Triple Threat tickets are still available. Visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, for more information. Again, these tickets are for the Lower Bowl, and you're also included with the driver meet and greet before the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
Thanks, Angel. 407-916-1041. Let's go to Charlie from Winter Park. You're on Real Radio. Wonderful.
Winter Park. Bit my finger.
How you doing, Charlie?
Hey, this is Charlie. How you doing?
Good, man. I got a trivia question for you. If you get it right, take whatever prize you want. If you don't get it, then you can ask one of the monsters to help you. You've got Carlos, you've got Angel, you've got Dirty Jim, and you've got Ryan Holmes, who's currently
100% win rate,
undefeated right now.
Did you win yesterday too?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
And actually, yesterday's he pulled it out of his. I was surprised, but here we go. All right, Charlie, good luck to you, buddy. Okay, President Andrew Johnson and President Donald Trump are the only two presidents to not have these. What is it?
To not have what?
To not, that's the question. To not have what? They both are the only two presidents to not have these. What is it?
God.
The only two presidents out of all the presidents.
Ex-wives.
Is incorrect.
That's a terrible guess.
Who do you want to help?
One of those guys for sure.
You've got Dirty Jim. You've got Angel. You've got Carlos or Ryan Holmes.
Don't pick Ryan Holmes.
Come on, I'm picking Ryan
Hall. Oh,
no.
Well, your streak will be over.
There goes the streak. He took a stab yesterday and got it. So.
Here it comes.
Here we go, Ryan Holmes.
See you later, Cal Ripken.
Of course, Ryan Holmes does trivia every Tuesday.
And I've come across an Andrew Jackson, Donald Trump question before.
Johnson.
I don't remember.
Okay.
Johnson.
Oh, well.
This is Andrew Johnson. President Andrew Johnson and President Donald Trump are the only two presidents to not have these. What are they?
To not have these. What are they? So they're multiple things.
Man. Perceptive.
Multiple.
Come on, Ryan.
Man.
This guy really wants it. This or these.
Okay. I'm going to say.
That's different.
Brown eyes.
Brown eyes is incorrect. I'm sorry. You finally got one wrong.
Loser.
You're
no
loser. No longer undefeated.
You're a loser, you king.
Hey, Patrick, you're on Real Radio 104.1.
Good morning, monsters. How y'all doing?
Man, Patrick, you're ready to go. He's I like that. I love that attitude. I hope you win. President Andrew Johnson and President Donald Trump are the only two presidents, American presidents, to not have these or to not have this. What is it?
To not have a dog.
That is the answer.
No.
Nice job, Patrick.
Yes, actually, it's not just a dog. It's a pet in the White House. But they're the only two presidents to not have pets in the White House. Let me put you on hold.
Melania.
You are a winner.
Melania. She's hot as hell. Trust me. She's hotter than anybody you ever banged, that's for sure.
No. He's not referencing her looks, I would say. I think it's the way she's been kept.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would say that. How would anybody question her beauty?
They did say that Andrew Johnson was feeding a mouse in the White House, so that might take him out of contention.
See, that's what I was thinking. I knew about the mouse in the White House, and I was like, there's no way it's pets.
But, yeah. That,
still undefeated.
Worst children's book ever.
Every other president has had a pet in the White House
Andrew
other than those
Johnson's
two.
Johnson's mouth.
Yeah. I guess there's a story about his mouse that he was feeding and all this kind of stuff, but it's not a real official pet, so they said that those two just haven't had pets.
You know, my guess was going to be either tonsils or brothers and sisters. Does Donald Trump have siblings?
Yes, he does.
He does. I do not. So. I honestly did not know that.
Yeah, he does. I forgot. He has like one black brother I know.
No, he doesn't.
And now he doesn't.
I'm not aware.
I thought he did have a brother or sister.
Yeah, but you never hear about that.
Yeah, you don't.
I mean, you would think that. I mean, you know, the media is pretty thorough.
Yeah.
That they would have gotten in front of their faces, but I don't know that he has any brothers or sisters.
When we were kids.
They're living, I guess I should say.
When we were kids, we went on a vacation, a motorhome vacation, and we went to Plains, Georgia, and we got to meet Billy Carter, which was the Jimmy Carter's brother.
Yeah.
And he was drinking his own Billy beer.
Yeah.
You know, we took a picture with
and
Billy.
If you're wondering what that's like, just think Roger Clinton. Same guy, right? He had his beer, and he was kind of a backwoods fella, and he had Billy beer. And
wasn't very presidential.
No. He didn't fit the mold of that being part of that royalty, family.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Hey, we're going to tell you how you can win tacos for a year from Tijuana Flats coming up here in a minute or two. We'll tell you about that. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1.
Tacos
for a year from Tijuana Flats. That'd be a cool prize, huh?
Yes, it would be.
Makes you hungry right now.
Yes, it does.
Hey, at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock here on the Monsters, you have an opportunity to win tickets for two to the iHeart Music Festival, which is really, really cool. Some of the biggest acts in the world, and you get the airfare, get to go to Vegas, get a place to stay. They treat you right. So keep listening for that keyword. We have not had a winner yet, and I would love to get a winner. Just text the keyword when you hear it to 200-200, and you could win. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and also Ryan Holmes. So we talked about this, how I heard they started doing this in Dubai, but when we had Shireen in, she said she didn't see it or didn't hear about it when she was in Dubai. But now there's a story out today saying that Uber is saying that they're going to start the flying taxis in a couple states. Actually, I think it's a couple of cities, starting in 2023. That's the flying car thing. They actually have them. They say they're ready, we'll be ready to go soon.
Uh-huh.
And, when you get in a flying car, an Uber flying car, it goes about 1,000 to 2,000 feet is in between there, with speeds up to 200 miles per hour.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. And they said they think about another 18 months or so is when they'll actually be ready, and there are two cities they're going to start in. What cities do you think they'll start the Uber flying cars?
Here in the U.S., right? Or does it say
that? Yeah, here in the U.S. This is the U.S.
Wow. Expansive, so
one
I would think.
One makes sense, the other one makes sense now that you said expansive.
Yeah, New York and maybe L.A.
It's L.A. and Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Because Dallas is kind of spread out.
Dallas-Fort Worth is all one kind of area, kind of like St. Pete, Tampa, or St. Pete, Clearwater, I think, maybe.
Right.
It's like a big, expansive area.
But if it goes well, I could see it doing well here, right? I mean, if you want to take a flying car to Tampa, go watch a game, and then come back.
You know, initially I said New York because I think, well, you know, you land on top of the building like a chopper, blah, 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 but, you know, 1,000 feet's not enough. Well, I guess it would be. That's a 100-story building. I think that would cover most of them.
Yeah, so it goes to 1,000 to 2,000 feet is the cruising altitude. And
are they self-flying or are they piloted?
No. Well, you know what? It says the team will design a new roto technology that's needed to help it take off faster. I think someone's going to fly it, Jimmy. I don't know.
So basically, it's just a giant...
Because they would call it a drone if it was...
Yeah, I was going to say, basically, it's a giant drone.
Yeah, the images that are coming from this looks like they are piloted craft.
Yeah. And as we learned this week, almost anyone can fly a plane or fly a thing. It's just getting it to land properly.
I'm just going to do a backflip and go nose down. It's fine.
Man, I watched some more of that guy. And,
I talked to my daughter last night.
What'd she say? Because your daughter works at the same...
She works for Horizon Air up in Seattle.
And that was the same airport that this happened at, right?
At the same exact place.
Same exact place,
So I texted her yesterday, and I don't know what... So I texted her yesterday and I said, hey, have fun at work today. Don't steal any planes. You know, she texts back and she said, you guys just now hearing about that? And I said, well, we played the audio today on the air, but yeah, this is the first I've heard of it was this morning. She goes, yeah, it happened Friday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I said, were you on? She goes, I was just about, because my daughter wanted to be a flight attendant, and she will be, but for the first 6 months of that job, you work in the terminal just basically boarding people until you learn that, you know, that, and then they kind of put you in that program, right? It's not like you just sign up and start, you know, flight attending. And she goes, I was just about to start loading a plane when it came across, don't load anybody, don't do anything. And they wouldn't say a word about what happened. And then she heard, I guess, from another employee that, you know, someone stole a plane.
You know what? They said that how he learned how to fly. You know, there's no key that you start the plane with. You know, there's a bunch of different things you're supposed to do.
A protocol of
buttons. And it said it was on YouTube. And they showed the thing on YouTube. It was the exact control panel. And it's a guy explaining. First thing you do is you hit the power button. The second thing you do is you hit the... And this guy explained exactly how to fly a plane on YouTube.
Or at least how to start it up, right?
How to start it, yeah.
And you got to remember this. I mean, if you think about it, this was not an impulsive thing. I mean, he says, look, I'm an impulsive guy, I always have been, but you can't tell it or whatever. That's not an impulsive move. I mean, learning how to fly a plane, you know, weeks, you know, assumingly, he stewed on the idea of doing this. This is not something you just stumble into and go, hey, check it out, there's a plane I can take and run out there. I mean, this dude planned this. I mean, he thought about this.
Well, yeah, if he learned how to turn the plane on and get it going, yeah, I mean, there had to be a plan.
Yeah, I mean, but it's weird because now, of course, everybody's freaking out. I mean, now I haven't talked to my daughter about this, but I mean, I can only assume because this is what happens in America. People overreact on, you know, well, we got to do this, and we got to do this, and we got to do this, and we got to do this. I mean, this is an anomaly that a guy basically saw a crease in his own company. He worked for them for almost 3 years.
Well, but you would agree.
And then got in there and you know, did the whole thing.
You would agree, though, now that we see that someone can do it in fear of a copycat, that now you've got to change everything.
Yeah.
And it's got to be locked up.
It's
got to be a certain, you know, only like certain people should have the ability to hit the right buttons.
You know, this guy created a reputation, and I agree 100%, regardless of who it is, because you never know who the bad guy is. I mean, you have to follow that security protocol at all times, because this guy was a coveted employee of this company. He'd been there for a while, no problems.
Didn't seem like or look like or sound like a bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, I told my daughter, I was like, look, we listened to the audio this morning, and the guy's like, you know, I mean, he sounded like he just kind of lost it, but even in the context of losing it, the guy didn't sound crazy, like, you know, crazy. Yeah. You know?
So what do you do now, right? Because, you know, you're dealing with a multiple issues here. The guy went to YouTube. There's tons of stuff on YouTube that if you're interested, you can go and learn. Do we mandate that you don't show sequences of starting up planes on YouTube now? is that where we're at?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think you lock up the plane is what you do. I mean, instead of saying you, because
why would that have to be public knowledge? And I'm just, you know, I'm asking. I'm not a guy who likes to pinch knowledge, because it's just kind of one of those things. But why would that need to be public knowledge?
I mean,
why would you need to have access to the control panel of an airplane, a commercial airplane? Why would you need that?
How many things do they say, hey, look, we can't show this? How many things are there?
Well, they just voted down the whole idea of showing you how to make a 3D printed gun, right?
Okay.
And the whole idea of doing that. We also know that the Anarchist Cookbook had, for many years, the ability to make some lethal mixtures of household compounds as poisons or gases. And I believe, for the most part, on the normal web, you know, it takes a little bit of time to search that stuff, and you will see, well, this not offered or whatever. But on the dark web, I think pretty much everything's out there. You can make it
I guess the argument would be, if you start saying we can't do this, can't say that, then it's regulated too much. And
yeah, but I mean, again, I'm not asking you, should you know how to operate a commercial airplane via YouTube? What I mean, if you want to make that a tutorial, make it a private group where you have to kind of subscribe, be approved, then you have access to that information. Why would you need access to learn how to fly a commercial airplane if you're not a pilot?
Because I can't imagine the first day a pilot shows up and, listen, you know how to start this plane? Just go to YouTube and you check it all out there.
Yeah.
And then we'll go over tomorrow.
Next week,
and you can fly this plane. Yeah.
You guys are forgetting that there's students at all times that are taking licensing courses, doing the whole thing. So they're probably doing off-site learning, and they're going through watching YouTubes like you do anything else. So it is beneficial to a certain segment of society.
And again, I said, if it was a closed group and you subscribe to that or even purchase that ability to log on and stream that particular information, I could understand that completely. But I mean, does the general public need to know how to hop into an airplane of this nature and fire the damn thing up?
All right, so let's say we do that, right? Let's say no more videos up on YouTube of how to start a airplane, right? How far does this? How far do we keep going? Because
then
you can go on YouTube right now and you can find tactical weapons training.
Right.
Yeah, guns don't kill people. Right? YouTube kills people.
Or you can go right now and do high speed car stunts or high speed car tricks on YouTube.
Yeah.
And what about this? What about the argument, Jimmy? Like, why should you be able to have a flight simulator to fly a plane? I mean, if you want to fly a plane, you should have to take a class, and there shouldn't be no fight.
Yeah, again, but you're. I mean, I think maybe I'm not explaining. So that's you enroll to learn how to fly. You're there to learn to fly a plane.
No, they're video games. The Microsoft Flight Simulator, they got a big selling video game every year. They put out a new one.
Yeah, but is it an exact replica of the inside of that,
yes,
of that aircraft? It is.
It is. And you can pick different aircrafts, and it's full replicas of each one of those aircrafts.
I guess maybe lock it up better then.
Yeah.
That's the case.
There's a simulator video, it says, called DCS, that teaches you how to go through the sequences to start a plane as part of the game.
Should I be able to learn how to break into a car via YouTube?
There's good reasons you might need to be able to break in your own car. I mean, maybe lock your keys out, something like that. It's not the information. The information isn't inherently evil or bad. You're always going to have crazy bad actors.
Yeah.
So you can't fight crazy. So what you do now is this crazy dude found a loophole, and you close that loophole and you move on. You're never going to be able to stop everything 100%.
Yeah, for some reason, stopping information doesn't seem like it's the right answer. Though I would agree with you, Jimmy. I would be like, hey, you can't put that on YouTube.
I asked the question, guy goes, God, Jimmy, you're such a conservative. Censorship of YouTube is not the answer for the plane issue. I simply asked a question, did I not?
I did not make
a declarative statement. I simply said, why do you need to have access to information of how to start an airplane if you're not an employer trying to learn how to do that?
But what he's right. What you're suggesting is censorship to censor it, and
not really. I just said if you have to be a closed group. I mean, if you go to a class, you learn how to do that. You subscribe to that particular information and get it. Now, I completely understand. This is not the answer. You just lock the door.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, you lock the door. That's the easier way. But it is kind of interesting that you use this information. Like, yes, you're right. Hey, I'm gonna type this in. How do I get into my car where I lock my keys?
But think about this.
Or how do I steal a car?
The whole reason for this
feed.
The entire thing is because there's going to be flying cars. So when there are flying cars, those are going to be made easier to fly just for anybody to get in and fly it. So you got to worry, if you got a flying car, you can fly it into any building you want. So is that that's another issue to think about.
I think there's going to be a version. They're all autonomous, though, and Uber is going to have full control over them one way or another. There might be a pilot, but they'll definitely have like a control mode that they can go into remotely.
Yeah. The guys from 9/11 took training to fly jets as if they were going to do that for a living, did they not?
That's true. Okay. There was a story yesterday about a guy, and he and his wife had gotten into a big fight. He was arrested. He was arrested for domestic violence. He got out of jail. He went right to his plane, got in his plane, flew it right into his house. His wife and his kid was in the house. He flew it right into his house. Guess what happened? He died. They're fine.
Yeah. Well, good then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, still.
God,
I mean,
won.
The good side won that time. But you know, that's I never would have thought of that. you know, I'm going to fly my plane into the house. It was his house.
I'm going to show
yo. Man, that's
a trail of evidence.
Yeah, yeah. But once there are flying cars, how do you regulate that?
This is the thing you've been obsessed about since I've known you the most.
Well, because
the idea of the flying car and it being successful. It's been successfully brought up every year we broadcast for 26 years.
I know, because
you know that, right?
When I was a
I'm
kid,
not kidding, every year.
I always thought, well, when we're like the Jetsons and we can fly around, then we've actually made it to the future, and I thought we'd have been there by now. But this is crazy. It's actually coming into fruition. Oh, you found the fire?
Yeah, I've got it on the YouTube channel, so if you're watching live, you can see it up. That is a way to go out.
Yeah, he flew the plane right into his house.
No, didn't he? I thought he hit, like, the front porch.
Yeah, he did. He went right into the front porch, and I guess...
So unless they were trick-or-treating, everybody's fine.
Whatever bricks he had to build that house, they were some solid bricks, man.
That's a sturdy house.
That's a sturdy house. But she was in there with I think it was an infant, like a really small child. So they didn't have to arrest him because he died.
But this is the closest we've been to flying cars. Like, you always saw the thing, like, they were, like, big, loud hovercraft things. Yeah, yeah. It sort of worked.
That pure Mueller guy worked on it forever and forever and forever, and then other people have actually created the flying car, and he still has that big ton of tin that he tried to get to work.
What year did it say it's going to come into...
It says
2020.
They're collaborating right now with the U.S. Army Research Laboratory and with University of Texas, and they say in 18 months, they'll be ready to go, and they say by 2023 you will be able to step into a flying car in Dallas
23?
Or in Los Angeles. 2023.
It'll be before that.
You think so?
In my mind, it will happen before that because I mean, we already have that technology working at a great rate in certain sections. For 2023,
I want to see one. I want to see one live now. I want to see a flying car live. What it looks like.
I can't wait to get a throw up charge for a flying Uber. That's going to be awesome.
If you hit somebody in the head.
How functional do you think these? Like, what would be a good number for this to be functional? In the sense of passengers at a time.
So, okay, if you want to go to Tampa, let's say today and watch a Rays game.
Let me give you an example. My wife is going to Taylor Swift tonight.
Okay, in Tampa.
In Tampa.
Okay, so what if it was $100 to get you there and back on an Uber?
Oh man,
so $50 one way, $50 another.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty attractive.
Do I have to listen to the driver's demo tape on the way there?
Yeah, pretty attractive because you have $50 there, and it's
no parking,
and it's probably only going to take you, you know, with factoring in traffic and everything, probably an hour and 15 minutes, maybe an hour to get over there.
And at 200 miles per hour, you'll get there.
It's going to be cheaper than that.
You think?
Yeah. Because it's going to be autonomous. At a certain point, it will be that you get in. There'll be no overhead for people sitting there. They'll be controlling it from a little control center that'll be in Miami or Orlando or maybe Texas. The reason it's in Texas, you think the oil corporations are going to let that too far out of their sight? Hell no. They're just going, let's just see what's going on with that. Okay, we'll invest here, we'll invest there. But like, no, dude, it will be super cheap to travel in the future.
Well, if it's cheaper than $50 to go to Tampa, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of cool. It's going to be interesting, though. You know, I've said it for a long time. I believe that, you know, battery and storage and battery life and the idea of the battery is where technology is going. You know, we can make power. Storing it's the problem.
That's why you got Solar City by Elon Musk.
Yeah.
You know, he's smart. He's well ahead of it. He's making the biggest factories ever that will hold power. Him.
But with this thing, it's weird because it's a battery pack, so I wonder how long the flight is. I mean, that's a Tampa. That's a pretty good amount of power to go into a battery. And if you think of a Tesla-like battery, that thing's heavy, you know? So not only do you have to lift your payload, now you have to have something big enough to lift itself and, you know, a couple hundred pounds.
Hey, why are we ignoring the obvious? We know you're a Swiftie. Why aren't you going to the Taylor Swift concert today?
Yeah,
I am not a Swiftie.
I thought you were a Swiftie.
No, dude. I'm a Shania. I'm a Twainy.
Oh, a Twainy.
I'm a Twainer.
I'm sorry. That's right.
I'm a Twainer. You know better than that. Come on, man.
I'm sure it's a sold-out concert.
Taylor Swift? Yeah, they bought these tickets months ago.
Yeah.
You know, again, on Facebook this morning, it's, you know, one of the more dominant posts of people saying they're on their way over. It's T-Swizzle's in town.
Opening act or not?
Yeah, actually, a couple of really big ones. Camila Cabello.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And Charlie XXX or MCX or what's it, XCX?
XCX, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's going to be there as well. Both of them have are massive pop stars who have either their own hits or feature on a ton of songs out right now. That Havana song is one of the biggest songs in the U.S.
I think she's been bringing people out on stage with her, too, to do stuff, yeah.
What is the average age of a Taylor Swift concert attendee?
That's a really good question. I think it goes from 15 all the way up to 50.
Really?
Yeah, 15 to 50. She's pretty universal, dude.
Anytime I've gone to like a concert that I don't follow like big major pop stars, but I've gotten free tickets and gone to them. Mm-hmm. The production on those it makes so much fun.
You know,
man.
I haven't been to a big concert like that in a while. Like I can't remember the last major. Like I've been to House of Blues, been to Hard Rock, but like those arena shows where they bring in like what seems to be George Lucas light magic industrial to make everything.
Shania's show was like that.
I know, dude. You keep talking about the big boots.
We know
under
you're
the
20.
They had boots flying under beds.
it was amazing. One of the best shows I've seen since Guns N' Roses. It was amazing.
I bet it was. And that's what I'm saying. The only thing I've seen is like horrible iPhone footage of people shooting it from their phones.
Yes, yeah,
no
one wants to see that.
I look at it for a minute and I go, I know you're not doing this stage show justice.
Yeah, you're costing them ticket sales.
Right. Exactly. So I don't even know who I would go to. Maybe you two or somebody like that I know would just, because I do want to see one soon.
All right, then you're listening to The Mantra of the Morning.
Think of it as punching someone in the face, but with words.
Call now, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio, 104.1.
From the...
Right now, you're all like all ticked off because you're in traffic on I-4 and everything. Just relax. Don't freak out. Don't get out and scream at anybody. Don't scream at none of that.
Dude.
Yeah, I knew your girl had to deal with that yesterday.
It was a serious enough issue that we went back and we had to file a police report.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Guy got out of his vehicle on Aloma Avenue.
Yeah.
If anybody witnessed this, feel free to hit me up. But confronted her. Went to swing on her vehicle.
Oh, my God.
She had to dip out of traffic, and then, she was shook.
My God, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And so she came up here yesterday.
What'd she do wrong?
Was it a traffic altercation?
Where she lives, the way that she leaves her place, it's right into, you got to cross Aloma to get in there.
Sure.
And this guy just comes barreling down in his truck, and he, for whatever reason, cuts her off and then boxes her in.
Oh,
and then gets out of the car to confront her.
Wow, that's not a man.
That's horrible.
That sucks, man.
You don't do that to a woman. Like, she was by herself in the car?
Yep.
Well, you do not do that to a woman. I don't care who you are, how mad you are. You're always going to be more intimidating, more scary. Do not do that.
And you should never do it to anybody, really. I mean,
I don't know, man. If a bro cuts me off, we're fighting.
I mean, it is crazy how these petty, stupid little things that, this person's trying to get in. Nope, not going to let him in because I had to wait, and then all of a sudden that turns into this, and then that turns into you're in jail.
Dude, I would tell you the worst is I'm making a left onto Maitland Avenue from 434. There's that two lanes that merge into one, and that becomes a battleground single day.
I'm going to raise you one going down Howell Branch where it goes into Hall Road, and it's one lane, and people will dive bomb the light to try to get into the one lane. So there.
Move there.
What is the most dangerous intersection, or like the most dangerous spot in Orlando, I wonder?
I-4.
It's on I-4, and it's right there, what they call it, the Fairbanks Curve. Been more accidents there than anything.
Yeah, one where they put that sign up?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
The one that tells you to slow down.
Yeah, in town in front of, on 1792 in Winter Park is some of the worst.
Is that?
Well, the middle lane is for turning both sides because of all that, where that Chick-fil-A is.
Yeah.
So Code Black sees a wreck there a week. He has a collection of horrible accidents on his phone because all he has to do is step out once every, 4 days and click another one, somebody turning out of there into traffic.
Hey, so I mentioned this a little bit earlier, an opportunity to win tacos for a year for free at Tijuana Flats.
Sign me up.
Now, here's what they're doing, okay? And we're going to be participating in this. Now, unfortunately, Ryan, we can't have you participate today because it's only for four of us, the way they've got it all, the way their brackets are.
can I win the tacos for life then?
Sure. You can do that. Yeah, yeah. Here's the gimmick. Here's the deal. Here's what we're doing. Just like we've done before where we have a draft, and last time we were drafting, actors that made the best villains.
Yeah.
And then before that, we did
theme songs.
TV theme songs.
All right, here we go.
And
this is where
Anthony Hopkins won, just to give you an idea of what that last one was like, right?
Right.
This is where it gets all convoluted.
It's not that. It's the
Best Taco that's also a villain one time in his career that has tomatoes.
No cartoons.
This is Tijuana Flats put this together because they've got something new, the cheeseburger taco. So here's the premise, here's the idea, and the Phillips File have already picked their picks, and I'm going to tell you what their picks are, so we can't pick what they've said, okay?
All right.
This is the greatest combos of all time, like peanut butter and jelly or Shaq and Penny, and we each get two picks, all right? So the greatest combos of all time. I didn't create this, so don't give me that funny look.
Are we in fourth grade?
I know. I didn't do this one.
What the hell are we doing here, folks?
Jack gave this to me, and I was like, okay, it's for a client, and that's their idea. So.
I love Tijuana Flats.
I do too.
In fact, I can tear up Tijuana Flats pretty much any day of the week.
All right, so it's greatest combos of all time. We'll all be drafting our ours in a minute. Here's what Jim Phillips picked. He took bacon and eggs.
Oh.
And then he took Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh.
That's a little, I didn't get that one. Moira has mac and cheese.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good.
And Donnie and Marie. Okay. All right. Jack has peanut butter and jelly.
And Stanel and Orville.
And Abbott and Costello. And then Pinkman has Hall and Oates.
Damn it.
And Law and Order. Okay,
oh,
so
Law and Order,
right.
TV show.
Well, hey, look,
concept.
It is the greatest combos of all time. Some of the examples that Jack had was like peanut butter and jelly. That was his pick. R2-D2 and C-3PO. Shaq and Penny. So that's the idea.
All right.
And when people vote on the website at Monster, everybody's laughing at this one. I did not come up with this one.
Who did? VPK teacher?
I don't know. When they said it in the promo meeting, I said, this is kind of silly, but whatever. So we'll get silly for a segment. That's fine. So the most awesome, greatest combos of all time, things that go together, so that's the premise. I've got the draft number here, so we always go around and make it fair. Ryan Holmes, if you want to pass these around, and then we'll see who. And I don't mind drawing last because they'll tell me I cheated if I go first. So let everybody draw their draft number. And
Holmes just went up to him with the numbers showing to him.
Yeah, it gets so competitive around here.
Oh, yes, I got four.
Don't say it yet.
Sorry. I have so many combinations in my head.
Don't.
Duo.
Don't look.
Combos.
Combos, just like cheeseburgers and tacos. This is a Tijuana Flats promotion. When you vote, then you're eligible to win, tacos for a year, which is pretty cool. And
now that's amazing. If I had Tijuana Flats tacos
for a year,
I would be the happiest.
I wouldn't know how to act.
I wouldn't. I would be the norm of Tijuana Flats. I'd roll in every day because every time I go in, I got to buy a big old gallon of their salsa as well.
All right, Jimmy, you go first. What number did you draft? What number did you get?
Three.
You're third. Okay, what about you, Angel?
Let me go last.
You already looked, didn't you? Carlos, what do you have?
Four.
You're four. I'm number two.
So that makes me?
Number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
One,
two, three, four, right? Okay. All right. So that'll be the draft order.
Man.
So does everybody understand? Because last time everybody got confused.
No, I don't. So is this things that are in pairs or are we talking about two?
He's being a dick.
No, these are combos.
No, he's being a dick. I'm telling you, he's being a dick.
Like chips and salsa.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
you hear that laugh? That's a laugh of a dick.
So it's movie villains and tacos with cheeseburgers.
No. These are great combos, greatest combos of all time.
Oh, the snacks combo, so like pretzels with cheese in them?
And they'll go up against each other, and people will vote for what they like better, and then if you're, whoever has the best idea, it will win. Last time, it was Anthony Hopkins. Whose was that? Anthony Hopkins.
I think it was Angel's, wasn't it?
Angel, was that your
win
last time?
No, my guy was the guy from Die Hard.
Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
You lost Alan Rickman.
But like, you say, When you say combos, are we talking like the pizza combos? Like the little snacks?
No,
please
no,
clarify
like
that. Shaq, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Like Shaq and Penny.
Yeah, because I'm still very confused about this very complex concept.
Are you talking about Dragon Ball Z combo moves?
No.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
You know, that's a good, I mean, if you get a couple combinations there, you get like multiple and triple points. Is that what we're going for?
This is to remind you that they got a cheeseburger taco at Tijuana Flats, and those of you that participate at Monsters.fm or Radio.fm can win tacos for a year. So when we come back, we will do the greatest combos of all time draft and see what we pick. Now, once again, we cannot pick bacon and eggs because that's Jim Phillips, Simon and Garfunkel.
No one would pick that.
We cannot pick mac and cheese or Donnie Marie. We cannot pick peanut butter and jelly and Abbott and Costello. And we cannot pick Hall and Oates or Law and Order. Everything else is on the board. So we'll see what we have when we come back. All right? You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
This is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.
From
hey, welcome back to the Monsters Mornings. We're Radio 104.1. We are broadcasting live. Yeah, I know. That's smart. That's good. We're on iHeartRadio. Also, we're live on our YouTube channel if you want to check out. We always forget that we're on during the breaks, which is ridiculous, but we do. So if you want to watch it, you can. Go to Monsters.fm, and you can see videos from over the past weekend and also click through anything you want to. And if you want to find out what Dirty Jim's doing with the Jim Colbert Show, it's up on Monsters.fm with Angel. What the hell is Angel listening to? Everything is at Monsters.fm. And welcome back. I am Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, Carlos, and also Ryan Holmes today. So we've got, this is a promotion that we're doing with Tijuana Flats. We love those guys. I mean, not only just homegrown, like we're right out of UCF, but we've been able to watch the Tijuana Flats grow, and it's one of these, it's a great place to eat. It really, really is.
It's one of my favorite restaurants in Orlando, always, because it's just quality food, and there's always one around.
So they've got a new thing they're promoting. It's a cheeseburger taco. So the idea is a great combo, two great things that go together. So we're doing one of these polls that we do on the website where you get to go and vote. And when you go and vote, they're going to pick somebody who's a winner randomly, and you could win. If you win, you're going to get tacos for a year from Tijuana Flats. How cool is that?
Not bad at all.
That's pretty good, right? All right. So here's the gimmick. Here's the idea. It's the greatest combos of all time. So, and the Phillips File has already picked their combos, and they got to go first this time. And so Jim Phillips took bacon and eggs, which is strong, Simon and Garfunkel. Then you got Moira took mac and cheese, and Donnie and Marie. Jack took peanut butter and jelly, and Abbott and Costello. And Pinkman took Hall and Oates and Law and Order. So now we get our draft picks, and we've drawn it out. So Angel gets to go first. I get to go second, then Carlos. No, then Dirty Jim, then Carlos. So for our first round draft pick, the representative from Puerto Rico, Angel Rivera.
By way of California.
By way of California.
And Florida.
What are you taking for your draft pick for the greatest combo of all time?
I'm just going to go, since it is Tijuana Flats, and I love that place. I visit them quite frequently, and one of the combos that they already serve, and to give it proper due justice, is their chips and queso.
Oh, nice.
Oh, so nice. So not chips and salsa.
Chips and queso.
Chips and queso. Why not go with the more, you hear chips and salsa more than chips and queso?
I think chips and salsa you could get anywhere, chips and queso is indicative of going to a taco joint.
And I think queso makes a statement about the restaurant, too. If you make a really good in-house queso, your customers know it.
Very good. All right. So Angel's first pick is chips and queso.
Specifically from Tijuana Flats.
From Tijuana Flats.
No
okay.
other place.
Yeah, it's good. I've had tons of that. You can tell.
That queso is awesome.
Second round pick comes from the young boy from Orlando, which is me. And
I'm like, where's he at?
Who are you talking about?
And I gotta tell you, I thought about this and I thought about this. Of course, you know, the idea, what I love about this particular game is we're talking to our demo, like who's voting, like who is it? And I thought about Batman and Robin, of course. You know, that's one of the first things I thought of, Batman and Robin. But then I'm like, people don't really remember Robin as much anymore.
Look at
like,
all the tattoos.
Robin is, you know, he might not win. And then I thought Sonny and Cher, but I'm like, yeah, that's just me. I like Sonny and Cher. And then I
mostly
thought
Cher.
Then I thought I could get real. You know, real self-indulgent. Russ and Bo, how good would that be? But I said, nope, I'm going to win this time. I haven't won this in a while, so I'm going TNA. Nothing goes together like TNA.
You mean the wrestling thing? TNA? Like TNA, total nonstop wrestling. Action?
Nope, TNA.
Oh, tacos and
avocado. Yeah.
So T's and A's?
Letter T and the letter A.
T's and A's.
So multiple letter T's, multiple letter A's. I got it.
All right. So let's see. Third round, Dirty Jim, who do you take for your best combos of all time?
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong.
Ooh.
Okay.
How do you spell Cheech?
C-H-E-E-C-H.
E-E-C-H. Is that it? Okay.
Yep.
Cheech and Chong. All right. There you go. All right, Carlos.
Jack and Coke.
Jack and Coke. That's a good one. All right.
That's a good one.
Jack and Coke. All right, this is round two, first round draft pick there.
Oh, that's right, Ryan doesn't get to play.
I don't get one. No. I would have gone with black barbecues and white ladies ruining them.
All right, that's a good one, actually.
Angel, who are you taking for your second pick? Hold on, Angel's thinking.
Deep in thought.
For the next second one, I'm going to go with a musical pick here.
Okay.
Peaches and Herb.
I'm going with Run DMC.
There are three people in Run DMC.
That's three people.
Run DMC goes down as one of the best duos in hip hop who had a DJ as their part of their band.
Run
DMC. That's the name. It was never Run DMC
let
and
him
Jam Master
the,
J.
Yeah, let him suffer the consequences of his pick.
Okay.
No judging.
And so, I just wanted to play the song.
Rest easy, Jay.
Yeah, that's what I thought for the song.
Let's see. All right.
I
you're
so go salt and pepper.
My first round, I took TNA. Let's see. I could go oysters and beer. I could go Smokey and the Bandit. But you know what? I'll go with what people probably expect, since I got TNA, which I feel is pretty strong. I'll go Batman and Robin. So I got Batman and Robin.
We knew that was coming, dude.
Yeah,
you should have just picked it the first. We knew it was coming.
No, I almost went Sonny and Cher.
Everybody on the texting service wanted somebody else to pick Batman and Robin before you.
Yep.
Well, I got it then. Okay, who's next? Is Dirty Jim?
No, I'm three, aren't I? Yeah, are you two?
Yeah, I'm two. You're three. You had Cheech and Chong first round. Who are you taking second round?
I think
round?
That's a strong pick, by the way. Man, I'm looking at my... it doesn't have to be a food thing, right?
It doesn't. It just has to be something and something. That's why DMC's got me...
Because I got salt and pepper, gin and juice. Mike and I...
Ooh, gin and juice is good.
You know what? I'm going to go out of the box here, and I'm going to take two entertainment entities. I'm going to go Penn and Teller.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Oh, wow. Look
Penn, at that. Is that Penn with two N's?
Yes, it is.
Penn.
And Teller with one R.
Oh, really? Teller. Okay. All right. And then, Carlos, you had a Jack and Coke for your first round.
Yes. And after much deliberation.
By the way, that was on my list.
Oh, damn. Well, good. I got one in there. After much deliberation,
thinking about a lot of the different options that I could choose.
Uh-huh.
And the amount of times that people have to be reciting these names.
Uh-huh.
And the people that will be reciting these names, I want to hear them say certain things.
Uh-huh.
And the best combo name that I have heard was recently when we made an interview and we found out that this person's was connected to a very famous person in the comic book industry.
What?
And the best combo name I've heard is Dinga Finger. So that is my pick.
What, you mean Dinger and Finger?
That's the best combination name I've ever heard. It's Bill Finger's cousin.
Dinger.
Dinger Finger.
But no, it's got to be a combo. That's not a combo.
A combination of names coming together in
if
such
we're allowing
beauty.
Run DMC, totally,
yeah. The wheels are off, okay? And just like Angel wanted to play in
You just
want to
hear
house,
Jim Phillips say Dinger
I
Finger.
I just want to hear Jim Phillips say Dinger Finger.
What did you say? What did you say? Say Dinger and Finger.
No, Russ. It's Dinger Finger.
You guys
that's the
don't
combination
understand
of the name.
No, it's a combo.
It's the combo.
That is a combo. Dinger Finger.
It's
Dinger
not a combo. And Run DMC is not a combo. That's three.
No, it's not.
God, it's
Run,
two.
DMC.
Run. DMC. That's it. There's
it's
no.
Run and DMC?
No, J Master J was not part of
it's
that.
It's Run. Yeah. If you go by the albums, it's Run DMC.
So DMC's one guy?
Run, DMC's one guy.
Yes. Oh, and Run's one guy.
And Run's one guy.
Okay. All right. Well, that one. But Dinger Finger doesn't work.
It's the greatest name I've ever heard.
It is, but it doesn't fit into this thing.
It fits perfectly.
Greatest
really.
Combo of all time?
I'll go against the commission on this one, okay? Dinger Finger, greatest combination ever named, and I want to hear Jim
Did
Phelps
you hear
say
this, Lowe's?
What?
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Did anyone hear it?
Oh. The kid, Al, he hits dingers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't hit me.
All right, so there's our draft picks.
We got to make this contest funny, right?
I would have gone Tina Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, Tina Turner and Hooch. That was
nice. Africa, at home, they call me Big Al.
Oh, what was that? It sounded creepy.
It's Big Al, and he hits dingers.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
oh
yeah. Yeah. What are some of the ones we missed? I'm looking on the website here.
Biscuits and Gravy.
Oh, yeah.
Beavis and Butthead. We got a handful of collars
that's
there.
That's a good one. Peaches and Herb.
YouTube said Russ and Divorce.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah. No, that YouTube did not say that. Ryan made it.
That's just
that
mean.
Is nowhere to be found.
Ooh, right Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Mike and Ike. Spaghetti and Meatballs is good. Starsky and Hutch.
Balls and Wieners.
Yeah. Salt and Pepper was the one everybody was like, that's as old as it gets, right?
That's cute.
All right, so.
Surf and Turf.
Frank and Beans.
And now you guys are just getting absurd because you know we can't say any
Tom
of these
Tom and
things.
Jerry.
Tango and Finger.
Peas and Carrots.
Tango and Cash.
William
Starsky
Maryland.
And Hutch.
Oh, Tango and Cash is good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if people will vote for stuff that's older like that or not.
Chip
like,
and Dale.
You know, like.
Yeah.
You know, like Abbott and Costello. Like I like Abbott and Costello, but I don't know if people would vote now.
Yeah, that's back in the 20s.
I think it's going to be hard to beat TNA, though. Most all of us like TNA.
Oh, chicken and dumplings.
That's except gay dudes.
That's true.
Then they're the ones who don't.
No. Yeah. They just like gay.
Yeah, exactly. That's
well,
true.
Some teas.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Tiny teas.
Frenching and benching.
That's true. That's another one I could have thrown out there.
This one was right in my face, and I didn't even pick it. Angel
what?
And passion fruit.
Oh, there you go.
Dang it, man. That was a good one.
A couple that will live in infamy. Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, there you go.
Dang.
I was going to think Ron and Ron, but
nobody wants
too old, yeah.
Boats and Hoes.
Boats and Hoes. Boats and Hoes.
When you vote,
have you ever been to Rub and Tug?
No, I've never had.
Money's in the boot.
When you vote and you participate, and this is all for Tijuana Flats. When you vote and you participate, you're eligible to win tacos for a year at Tijuana Flats. So that's a pretty good price.
I would love
tacos
for a year. God.
Oh man,
I would be so fat.
Yeah,
I would literally use that. They'd be like, "Man, when we did this promotion, we didn't think you'd come in every day."
What do you think? What do you think a cheeseburger taco tastes like?
Delicious. I had it last. Didn't they? Is this brand new? They're doing.
It says here it's
brand
to promote
new.
Their new. Yeah,
I thought they had it last year because I thought I had tried it.
Yeah, it's now at Tijuana Flats for a limited time.
Yeah, I feel like I've had it before. Maybe they're bringing it back.
Yeah, kind of like the. Yeah,
I don't know. They have the best chips. At Tijuana Flats, they give you the little chips and
it goes great with their queso.
Went chips and queso. I would have went chips and salsa because they're more.
I like.
I'm brown.
The number one condiment in America is salsa.
I like a little flavor.
Yeah, it is.
You know what I mean?
But salsa's got flavor. You can get hot salsa, man.
Yeah, so you get the queso. You put the hot sauce on there.
Yeah, you got to have the queso, dude. It's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Once you go queso, you don't go back so. It's so good though at 2-1 Flats. I love it.
Oh, those tacos coming.
We have tacos coming today?
No, we have other food coming.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right.
So people saying the file has us beat. Theirs were better than ours.
The file's
awesome.
I don't think so.
Yeah, really? You think Laurel and Hardy's going to get more votes than Cheech and Chong with our audience?
Yeah, that message was sent by somebody who has a beeper still.
311, we get it.
I don't see anything beating TNA. It's the most popular thing in the world.
I don't know, but since you can't say it, I don't think it's going to go over as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's going to be left over.
Everybody knows.
Can you read the list again, Russ?
Chips and Queso and Run DMC.
All right.
TNA and Batman and Robin.
That's good.
Cheech and Chong and Penn and Teller.
Uh-huh.
And then Jack and Coke and Dinger Finger. And that's a stupid one because that's not two things.
I know, but you got to say it.
Jack might tell you you can't do it.
Oh, is
going to safety patrol going to come over?
No running in the halls.
Possible.
Just like Russell put the K-Boss on something.
But it's not a combo.
No Kiki challenge.
Yeah.
Dingerfinger is not a combo.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's the narco in him.
Dingerfinger is just a way for you to get Jim Phillips to say Dingerfinger.
Exactly. I want to hear him say it, and when he says it, I want him to question it and call into question my saying.
He's just gonna make Pinkman say it a bunch.
Do you know how mad the Tijuana Flats is gonna be if Dingerfinger wins?
Oh, then we gotta come up with the Dingerfinger. What would the Dingerfinger be? I think of that as just a monstrous taco.
Yeah.
A taco burrito. That's the Dingerfinger, Lowe's. It's a taco burrito.
Taco burrito, Dingerfinger. I love it, bro.
It means nothing. Dingerfinger means nothing.
We just created it.
It's so stupid.
No, it is not. It's amazing.
We just created it.
It's amazing, man.
It's the taco burrito, the Dingerfinger.
Get your Dingerfinger. At Tijuana Flats.
I don't see that selling well.
No, it's like, come on down. Get your Dingerfinger. At Tijuana Flats.
You're laughing at the legacy of Bill Finger. That man... He got nothing in his life, and now you're laughing at him.
This is going to be bigger than Bill Finger.
Yeah. We're going to totally forget about Bill Finger. Think of Dinger.
And my pick is Batman and Robin, and you're making fun of him with Dinger Finger.
I know. That's what, like, inspired me.
That's inspired. All right. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. The Monster Mornings on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. They have another opportunity to win a trip for two to the iHeart Music Festival, which is coming up in Vegas on September 21st and 22nd. And you're going to get airfare. You get to hang out. I mean, it's a great prize. Just listen for that keyword and text it to 200-200 coming up in about another half hour or so. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. Are you guys good about or not good about going to the doctor? And there's a reason why I'm asking the question. And I just had to go to the doctor yesterday, which I don't like doing it, but I'm pretty good about it, I think.
Yeah. No, I'm terrible at it.
And they say most men are horrible at it.
Absolutely terrible.
85% of men don't go, and they don't pay attention to it, and they don't go for particular reasons.
I've been prescribed a blood test 3 years in a row, and I just don't ever go. It's still sitting in my truck.
You're not interested to see if certain levels are off, or
I mean, I feel all right. I mean, there are certain times I'm like, yeah, I feel a little wacko. I should probably go get it done. I just don't prioritize it for some reason.
And if they write it down, that means it's a real thing that you have to deal with. And then, because if you're just like, oh, my side hurts, it'll be fine. But if they're like, oh, you have this actually happening, and you're like, oh,
yeah. And if I'm bleeding from my stool,
yeah. Well, I know someone who had a place on his skin and just kept ignoring it. By the time he finally did go, 3 weeks later, he passed away.
No! I mean,
yeah, and there's another story out about a guy who had a place on his genital area, let's say, thinking, it'll go away, was too embarrassed to go to the doctor. I don't talk about it. I'll just pretend like it's not there. And his penis fell off. And when he went to the doctor, when it finally got really, really bad, he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, when did this start? And he's like, about a year ago. It's like, it was a year ago. He waited a year.
So your penis has been rotting for a year, and you thought, I mean, you didn't.
It rotted and fell off. And he was too embarrassed to go because it was, you know, that particular area. And that's the kind of thing that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, anything happens down there and stuff, I'm going for sure.
That's,
I mean, you
that's
know,
the
that's,
only time I go.
Yeah, that's like one of those things where you don't pay, you know, like if I get a little bump or whatever, unless it's like, you know, perpetually itching or something like that, I don't do anything with it. But if I see my penis rotting, you would, yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to dip into Centricare.
You would think you would run to have that looked at. But a lot of us are bad about.
I've gotten better.
You have?
I have gotten, and there's a couple things that have happened. That story with the skin thing, there was another story earlier in the year. There was like a national day for men to go have those kind of things checked out.
Yeah.
And that prompted me to do it because either we had somebody in or somebody came in and talked to us about that.
Yeah.
So I've gotten better. The one thing I haven't done yet, I'm still trying to get that, is like actually get my own doctor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, people have a specific guy
primary
to go to,
care
a primary care physician. I haven't done that yet. I need to do that.
Yeah, I don't. Since I had a pediatrician, I haven't had a primary care physician. And then they ask you, and they're like, "What?" They think you're crazy when you go in there. Like, well, you don't have a primary care doctor? No. I don't. When was the last time you went to a doctor? Like 5 years ago. And they just like, what?
Right, yeah. Right.
And what happened with me just recently where I had a skin cancer on my eyelid and they just did the biopsy. I mean, that was there for like a while and it was getting bigger.
It took you a while before you went.
Yeah, because I just thought I was, I was like best case scenario, like a wart and I'm like a witch or something. But it ended up being basal cell carcinoma. And now it's a big, huge deal where I got to go get my eye sewed up and it turned into a tumor. So that's super bad, I found out.
So do you think guys wait longer because they just don't want the bad news? They don't want to deal with it. They think that they're invincible.
I think what Holmes just said is a huge part of that. If what you don't know, you're actually in a better spot, you know?
Yeah, so
if you think, oh, it's going to go away, oh, I don't feel that bad, or you convince yourself that these things aren't as bad as they could be. You
but
know
it's
what I mean?
Such the worst advice because it's all preventative care is what fixes everything. So getting ahead of the things, and you know this logically as a man, but you're like, nah, I ain't going. It'll be fine.
Right.
And I have insurance. I pay a ton for insurance every month, and it's like I'm just throwing away money by not going to the doctor.
Too. Carlos, it took you a while to go to the doctor, didn't it, for your thyroid thing?
It did, yeah. It did. And I try not to mess around with it now. I just got some recent blood work done. I had Graves' disease and hyperthyroidism, so it was pretty serious and I had to get surgery.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know why it is harder for guys. Women seem to be more on top of it, but then you talk to some women and they're the same way,
right?
You know, but I'm getting better as I get older, and it's also because I have a good wife that kind of reminds me and tells me, hey, you need to be doing this as well.
This is a public service announcement. Your penis can fall off if you don't go to the doctor. So don't do like this guy did.
My God.
Does it say what it was?
It started as an ulcer. An ulcer in that area. He ignored it. And by the time he finally went to the doctor, he's like, "What? When did this happen?" He's like, "That started like 12 months ago.
Think that smelled bad?
It was too...
Oh, my God.
It was too late to save
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine it smelled like clean linen.
Oh, my goodness. And that's the thing, too. Like, half the reason I've gone to the doctor so much lately is because I'm in a relationship and I have my lady and she goes, well, she's logical. She's like, yeah, you need to go. And I think I've read a stat where like a lot of single dudes, they die sooner.
Oh, they do. Absolutely. Because of that.
Because we don't go to the doctor.
Because we don't go to the doctor. And you don't have anybody yelling at you to go.
And I mean, there's so much debate over healthcare and having it. And when you don't have it, it is ironic, right? Most guys are probably like this. I know I've lost healthcare before where I got fired and didn't have and then I'm freaking out and whatever. And then like majority of the time I have it and I don't even use it and it's okay. It's just when you really need it when you start tripping out. But yeah, I'm going. I'm trying to find a good primary care doctor right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I know you've had yours for a long time.
I like mine. She's a straight shooter, and she doesn't sugarcoat anything because she's Indian. You're from India or whatever.
Yeah, and they don't have sugar over there.
And she, you know, so yesterday I found out now I got to up my testosterone. Instead of 2 times a month, I got to do it 3 times a month.
Oh, yeah. Man, you got to talk to
her. Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God, man.
Whatever. If you're doing that, how's she not giving you some HGH, dude?
I don't know.
Do they have testosterone in gummy form?
I wish they did. I got to do it. Like, every 10 days, I got to do a shot because it's not. It's
hard to find a primary care. I'm actually in the process of doing that. YouTube's yelling at me. You got to find one. I'm in the process, but it's like being in a relationship, like going on a date with a doctor. Like, and it's like, is this for me? Do we have the right rapport here? Do I not like the way you say things?
I've seen two primary care physicians, and I just didn't like them. And I know you're not supposed to love. It's not like I'm looking for them to be like, you're the fittest human being in the world. You know, I'm trying to find, I had one for a while
And then he went off to help in the army, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, does it matter to you if it's a man or a woman?
It does, yeah.
It does.
Yeah,
I had you want to be a man?
I wanted to be a man. I don't want a girl, like, checking out my balls and stuff like that. You know, no, like, but, you know
I'm less inclined to talk to a woman doctor, I think. Yeah. And I don't know what that is, but I'd rather
go I've done better with female doctors. With guy doctors, I just...
Guys, you can commiserate with them. Like, yeah, you know.
Nah, because I feel like I'm being scolded.
You think?
I've had their nurturing quality of a female doctor, it's been, I don't know, for whatever reason, I've had a better rapport.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, when you get to our age, though, that one test, you know?
I haven't had that one yet, but I feel like I need to go do it.
Yeah, you got to get close. But that one test, as it comes up, you know, do you want to inflict that pain? It's weird because you're like, well, I don't. You know, when you go to pick a man or a woman there, it gets really odd.
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? You're like, he's like, you're going to feel some pressure. And I'm like, what are you?
I just embarrassingly had that done. And then it was a guy doctor with big hands. And he's like, okay, we'll bend over the table. And I did. And then he's like, don't arch your back.
Yeah.
It was the most embarrassing thing in that moment.
I've never had a man whisper that in my ear before, but I can imagine that would be odd.
You were shook. He felt you.
Don't arch your back.
Whoa. That's in the next round, man. Don't be arching that back.
I think Bill Engvall has the best joke about that test the whole time. He goes, Doc, come on, man. I got a dentist.
Yeah. Don't arch your back.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't know there was a proper way to bend over. That was embarrassing. And then he threw a box of tissues at me when it was over, and I thought it was because I needed to cry.
And the anger in which my doctor pulls that glove off and throws it in the trash can is it's pleasing.
Yeah, I go to the doctor like every 3 months just to make sure
Do you really?
Yeah, to make sure all the levels are right.
Good for you, dude. That's what it should be.
But my blood pressure's high again.
You go to the dentist when you need to. You're good about staying on it, and thank God, because you bleed, you sweat blood.
I know. Tell her I was sweating blood again.
Yeah. Actually, Carlos, it's funny. It's one of the things I've done a lot better. Dentist appointments.
Too.
I've been
me
really
too.
All over those. A lot of fun. And then, but like I said, back there, I've yet to find the right primary care physician.
Yeah, I have
and
been
I need
better.
To do that.
I've been better with the dentist, dermatologist, kind of like ancillary, not ancillary, but just obviously you're not main one. But the dentist one, yeah, man, I have so many sweets. And growing up in the 90s, majority of us, we all drank soda. Yes, right?
No,
it was the preferred drink other than water and ruined my teeth. But now I'm back to good. Thank you, Dentist Studio and Dr. Zach Hodgins.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I what do you learn every 3 months? I can't get beyond that.
Oh man,
they do your blood. I mean, if you did your blood work now, okay.
Yeah, but every 3 months.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, you're over 50, so I mean,
I don't know anybody who goes to the doctor that much.
Let's say that you have high cholesterol, okay.
Yeah,
so they want to see. Okay, we give you this the different medication.
Right.
Let's see in 3 months if it's better or if you have high blood pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do it today. In 3 months, let's see if you're better. So they had to up my testosterone. So she's like, need to see in 3 months to make sure that we've got it right now.
That's how it should be, because if you don't go for a long time, then you never have like basically a starting ground of what your blood work should be.
Yeah.
You know, so if you go 2-3 times a year, then you actively know kind of a base from what I've been told, because I hadn't been in a while when they went my thyroid. They had to do 2 or 3 tests because they were like, there's no starting. You haven't been in so long. There's no starting point to know even what your normal levels are.
And look, I don't know about you, but I need every 3 months, I need someone to tell me I'm overweight. So you know, I got to go every 3 months for a reason.
And
you know?
Jimmy, of course, the boner pills that Russ takes.
The wear and tear on that.
I mean, you should see the testing it takes.
Guys,
it's Drago. Look, I mean,
he's up to 3 times a month now on testosterone because the offset the just the over amount of boner pill.
Philip Bluewell.
But guys, Jimmy's in perfect specimen of a human, so he doesn't need to go to the doctor. It's ridiculous to go to the doctor.
I never said that.
He said, sir, we've gotten your blood test back, and you're a quarter Alfredo sauce.
4 times a year, though, man. That seems...
You're high on your gravy, it looks like.
Okay, I'll do 2 then. You 4 compared to 0 from you. Right in the middle, do 2,
no,
Jimmy.
I
need to go.
But Jimmy, if my numbers were fine, then I wouldn't see her for 6 months. Like, if my numbers were all good, but they were not all good.
How long has this 4 times a year thing been happening? Like how long?
It's not 4 times. It's 3 months after I have like a bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's been before where it's just every 6 months.
So every 3 months she gives you the old.
No.
That's
once a year. Finger every 3 months.
That's once a year after you're 50.
Yeah,
that's what's recommended.
Yeah. Or you can just do it yourself and tell her. You know.
Everything seemed okay.
Everything's fine.
Hey, I can give you a couple numbers to some people, and they'll tell you it's doing good in there.
Still good. Still feels great.
Still feels fine to me. All right. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Tomorrow for your greatest combos of all time, and when you vote, you're eligible to win tacos for a year from Tijuana Flats. That's pretty cool. So just go to the website at monsters.fm and you can vote for your favorite combos. What they'll do is they'll go up against each other in brackets like we've done before, and we'll see who picks the best combo of all time. But you get to win by playing, you know, someone's going to win the big prize, which is tacos for a year at Tijuana Flats. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. I got a couple things to get to. One is an email from a listener. Sometimes they're serious and in-depth arguments that you have with your spouse and your mate, and we handle those, and sometimes they're silly. This is someone who listens to the show, says, I have a question. Me and my fiance are arguing over a debate that we've had, and it's gotten out of control, but we are arguing about this, on what color lemon-lime Gatorade is. I say it's yellow. She says it's green. Not sure if you guys can help us figure this out. Lemon-lime Gatorade.
It's green.
I see it looks yellow to me.
I say Yanny. It is not even close to green. It is so clearly yellow. This is an argument you're having?
That's an argument they're having, yes.
Ah, you need to break up with this person right now.
All right.
So it's lemon-lime Gatorade. What color does it look like to you, Angel?
It's yellow. And if you need an example, look up Tropical Cooler Gatorade, and that's green.
Ah.
Yeah it's yellow.
Pulling it up. It's not green.
It'd be a very light, weird green.
Yeah, it's not true yellow, but it's definitely not in the green category. I don't know. Maybe she's colorblind.
What do you mean it's not in the green category? How can you say that? It's clearly in the green category.
I think it's yellow.
I don't know, man. That looks straight up yellow to me right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You got it up?
I mean, look, it has like a Gatorade label. It's green, and then the liquid behind it is yellow. I mean, it's
the one I'm looking at has a label where it's cut out where you can see through it, and that creates the color, which to me looks green.
You think it's green?
Looks more green than it does yellow.
Look up Tropical Cooler Gatorade.
Tropical Cooler Gatorade?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I see that. There's no question that is green as well, but I believe that, you know,
if you put those side by side, you're not going to go, if someone gives you the green one, would you expect them to go, which one?
Yeah, no question, but I would not certainly say the one on the left is yellow. Yellow is like the sun, right?
So is that just an odd color, a different color? I mean, it's not yellow or green, it's a... Something in between?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think that, like in the Monsters logo there to your right, what color is that?
This one?
Yeah, that's yellow,
yellow,
right?
For sure, yeah.
Does that look like that green?
No.
It doesn't look like that at all, does it?
But that doesn't look like green.
Really?
See, now I know why they're arguing about this, because it's some
Look at the
weird...
Real Radio logo up there on the thing. Does that look green to you?
That's yellow.
Yeah, that's yellow, right?
That's yellow. There's nothing in this... In this room that looks like that green.
Those aren't really yellows, though, because those are like more like orangey, what? Like fiery kind of thing.
I think I'm a little colorblind anyway.
Why? What do you see?
I see yellow. I mean, I understand the debate because there's a little bit of both, but it's this in-between color.
No, I mean, everybody agrees with you guys. The taxi service says it's, quote, definitely yellow. I mean, I don't know about definitely yellow. I can see where you can make an argument for yellow, but
now, there's
like, that's yellow.
Gatorade Flow Smooth is straight up yellow.
Yeah, that's yellow. That's not a good yellow.
No, that looks like you drink that maybe and... Yeah.
Right,
that looks
right.
Like R. Kelly made that.
Yeah.
Easy, gentlemen.
Right. Isn't it funny, though, because people can get into big arguments about little things like this, and it's really not the argument. It's really not the topic of what the color is. It's about, like, you won't listen to my side or people start to fight about it for other reasons other than the real debate.
Try the new R. Kelly sports drink, Ignition.
Yeah, the funny, so it's such a big deal that when you go on and you log on and you type that in, you know, Gatorade, lemon, lime, and you click images, right?
Yeah.
So one of the images is a guy actually took his Photoshop, put the Gatorade bottle up there, and found, until he moved his cursor on the color scan, until he found exactly the color it was considered.
And what's it called?
It's just a number. Oh. But people are calling it chartreuse.
Chartreuse.
No.
That's not chartreuse.
I've never known what chartreuse actually looked like.
They're being obtuse.
Magenta. I know what magenta looks like. I don't know what chartreuse looks like. So I guess maybe it's that color, right? That would be chartreuse?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy.
I don't think it's green or yellow. It's some other weird thing in the middle. Oh, you found something there, Ryan Holmes. What does that say?
Well, there's chartreuse green, chartreuse yellow. It's kind of like a pear kind of color, I guess. And there's a liquor called chartreuse, which is green, in my opinion.
I'll be damned.
Also, many a dancer
has been named chartreuse.
Chartreuse to the main stage.
All right, so there he is. There's our opinion on that. So thank you for emailing me, russ@wtcast.com. And we sort of...
Actually, you can keep those kind of emails to yourself.
No. We got 5 hours to fill. It's fine. There was a little 4 minutes there.
Right, that hurt.
Let me ask you about this one. Okay. So think of your closest friend or closest relative.
My best friend.
Yeah, your best friend or your closest relative. Okay. All right. Your sister, your brother, your closest friend or whatever. And they went around and they asked, they've got these 10 different crimes and they've asked people, would you turn them in to the police for this?
Ooh, okay.
Okay. All right. So number 10 for shoplifting, your best friend or your closest relative, would you turn them in for shoplifting?
No.
Yeah, if you're a bitch. Yeah. I mean, geez. I mean,
snitches get stitches.
Now, 33% of Americans said they would. I would agree with you. I would not.
Yeah, never shoplifting. I'd be like, hey, don't do that. Yeah. Especially if I'm there, I'd be like, hey, do not do that.
But come on, man.
But give me half.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Look, if you're going to start.
Why'd you steal all that green Gatorade?
it's yellow.
If you're going to steal beer, give me two. No. But 33% said they would turn their closest relative or their best friend in for shoplifting. Tax evasion. What percentage of Americans do you think said they would turn their best friend or closest relative in for tax evasion?
No.
That's such a complicated crime as it is. Like, that's just accountant friends, I guess?
Yeah. How would you know? I mean, you guys sit around the fire and talk about each other's returns?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. You know what? If he was stealing from a charity, like tax evasion, like he happened to be an accountant and he was stealing from some, like, poor kids.
That's theft, though. I mean, you're talking about evading your taxes, not paying
into
the government.
That's true.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, that's no big deal. Just ripping off the government.
No, tax evasion, though, it's so willy nilly because you don't, I mean, there's no real set rules on how you're supposed to do your taxes.
Yes, there is. Have you ever read the tax code?
Oh, yeah.
Very invigorating.
Yeah.
1,000 pages.
Okay, so none of us would turn our close relative or friend in for taxes.
Not even close.
Okay, dealing pot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I would turn them into myself.
Can I tell you, even saying dealing pot sounds ridiculous anymore.
You sound like a narc right now. Yeah.
What percentage... sound like the cops are already here.
You guys want to do some weed later? What percentage do you think said they would turn their closest relative or friend in for dealing pot?
I love smoking the marijuana.
I'm gonna say that one's higher. I'm going to say it's around 45% because a lot of people still think it's bad.
It's exactly 44%.
I could tell you out of five people, I know one person that would.
Yeah. I would not.
Hall monitor over here.
I would not.
I smell the weed in that Kiki Challenge car.
Yeah, unless you don't want Frank the Bear calling anymore. Yeah.
So that'd be the worst hypocrite of all time. Buy a quarter and then turn the dude in.
So none of us would turn him in for dealing pot. How about scamming the government out of benefits?
Yes. Yeah, that one I would.
You would?
Like for healthcare?
You would turn in your closest relative
for getting,
or your best friend.
So you're talking about for getting food stamps you're not required?
It just says...
It all depends, Jimmy, because it could be FEMA, right?
Yeah, it could be a lot of things.
Scamming the government out of benefits.
I don't think you should scam people that for charity stuff and for things like that, because people do really need those services, and that just makes you a scumbag.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would not turn anybody in for that, though.
No?
No.
If it was my grandma... I'd turn her in. You know what, Mima? You're done.
Really?
Done.
Okay, so we found
Tell Mima.
You're the first one that would turn someone in. Okay.
No, Jimmy
says no.
No.
Angel?
That's on them.
Angel, no.
It doesn't mean I have to hang out with them, though. You know that, right?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you have to hang out with them. I mean, once you learn what that kind of stuff, you can kind of make a choice, but it doesn't mean I'm turning them in.
Okay, how about drunk driving? How many people would turn in their best friend or their closest relative for drunk driving?
Like, make an active phone call? Like, my boy just left the bar and he's hammered, he's in this?
Correct.
Hell no.
Me neither.
Although I probably should, but I don't.
You probably should. Am I in the passenger seat?
No,
he's just driving
it's
away.
It's up to
best
you
friend.
To call the police and turn in your best friend.
You're there drinking at the bar. He says, I got a bail. You're like, look, man, can you drive? He's like, yeah, I'm fine. He's clearly not fine. Gets in his car. You pick up the phone. Hey, there's a guy leaving in this car. right now, and I know for a fact he's impaired and needs to be taken off the road.
Friends do this move all the time. They're like, you're gonna drive, you're gonna drink, drive. All right, bro. All right. Just text me when you get home.
Right. Because that'll sober you up quickly. You drive great.
53% say they would turn in their best friend or their close family member for drunk driving.
If I thought somebody was really drunk, yeah, I think I would.
I've tried
to stop drunk people before, and drunk people, everybody knows they're very stubborn, and you can kill somebody or a family and not ruin not only your life, but an entire group of people.
I'm not gonna turn them in for that, though. Carlos, what about you?
I don't know. Yeah, that is a tough one, because, like, if, let's say it's, if it's mixed company, you're at a bar, people are chatting, and some person becomes a friend within that little time period, and then they take off, and it's like, dude, and he fights it, and then leaves, I may call. I don't know.
53% say they would.
Yeah, but if like a close friend, I'm probably going to order them an Uber, or I'm going to drive them home because I happen to not drink.
All right. Owning illegal firearms. What percentage would turn in their best friend or close relative for owning illegal firearms?
This is America. 0%.
Yeah, would not even
you would
close.
Not?
Never, no.
Carlos?
I mean, what do they have, a tank? I mean, what is illegal? literally.
AR-15.
That's legal.
Fully automatic.
Fully auto, and the AR-15s are just a little tiny spring away. It's nothing. I mean, what are you going to... You literally can't even get them.
64% of Americans said they would turn in their best friend.
A lot of people are lying on this to try to make themselves feel good.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody that committed
seems like the stupidest one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, someone that committed an assault. Beat somebody up.
No.
68% of Americans said they would.
Yeah, if he beat somebody's ass and it was a kid or it was a woman, and if it was somebody
but if your best friend gets in a fight, you're not turning them in.
Hell no, I'm stomping.
Now we're into the last three, and the last three are interesting. Okay, so this is your best friend or this is a close relative in your family. Animal cruelty.
Oh, yeah, you're going down for that one. I've seen this and turned somebody in.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's your best friend.
Yeah, no, you because that's also a sign of a more terrible, deeper personality. Yeah. And you do, if I see an animal get hit in front of me, I'm definitely doing something.
Yeah, that's a really sketchy one as well. And I'm with Ryan on this. I would probably like, hey, dude.
Hey, what are you doing?
I don't know what your deal is, but that's not... You can't have any of that. And then if it happened again, I would definitely call the cops or call animal services or whatever. But I would have to make it vocal that I don't roll like that.
Yeah.
So that person understood. But even then, I mean, that's just them saying, well, I don't do it in front of that guy anymore.
71% say they would turn in their best friend or close relative. Now, dealing hard drugs like heroin.
Turn in somebody for hitting a pet, but yeah.
I'm not turning in drug dealers. That's
even for heroin.
That's how you end up missing. No.
Carlos, heroin.
No, just ask him if he could, like, step it down to weed and we could be cool. Be cool, bro.
Angel Harrington, you turn in your best friend for heroin.
Yeah, because that guy's not your best friend after a while, man. I mean, the guy's slinging heroin. If your man is slinging heroin, you're not going to be friends that long.
The very last one, what percentage of Americans say that they would turn in their best friend or close family member for murder?
Yeah, 5 seconds. Ooh. Wouldn't even be close. I'd turn him in immediately.
Depends on who.
I would, but I imagine a lot of families ride or die. You know?
Hell yeah. I know.
Everybody gets turned in for murder, dude.
87% say that they would turn in a family member or a close friend for murder.
Yeah, my mom has straight up told me she would.
If it was cold-blooded murder, I wouldn't even think twice. I'd turn my own mother in.
And 3% said that they would not ever do that. So there you go. All right. Hey, remember, in a couple minutes, your chance to win a trip for two to our iHeartRadio Music Festival. So listen for the keyword and text it at 200-200. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Stick it in the ignition. Can I get a toot-toot? Can I get a beep-beep? Running ahead through my fro, bouncing on 24s while they say on the radio. Oh, do you like drugs? Your next chance to win your way to our iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Hey, good luck to you. I hope to see you win. We haven't had a winner yet. We'd love you to do it. Just text that keyword to 200-200, and you could be a winner. Welcome back to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, Ryan Holmes here. And by the way, we're live on our YouTube channel, so if you want to check out what's going on here live, you can. And it's It's 9 o'clock, and at 9 o'clock, we find out what's going on in the real news with Deborah Roberts. Hello, Deborah.
Hello, Russ. How's it going?
It is wonderful. How you doing?
I am usual, fat and sassy.
Doing your thing. Is there a lot going on in the real news?
There really is. Actually, we have a breaking story out of Italy this morning. Yeah, of course, crazy. We've got. Yeah, it is crazy. The footage is unbelievable. We have a 650-foot span of a major interstate in Italy. A sudden and violent storm came in and literally knocked this section of a bridge, toppling it on top of at least 20 vehicles are involved. There are 11 people dead so far, including a child. Two people have been pulled alive from the rubble, but this is part of the A10 for anyone who's ever been in Genoa, Italy. It's part of the interstate that connects Italy to France.
Wow.
So the whole thing just collapsed?
The 650-foot section of it just came right
650
down.
650 feet? Okay, so are they any kind of terrorism or anything like that?
No. It was a violent storm. It was a storm that came in and just blew it just came in all of a sudden. Thankfully, it's an industrial complex where the bridge collapse happened.
Is it like their version of a hurricane or?
Very similar to that. Something, they don't know if it's straight line winds. They haven't explained anything more, just saying that the violent weather is what led to the bridge collapse.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks horrific. Actually, if you go to monsters.fm, you click on the YouTube page, Ryan Holmes has thrown in there the footage, and it is scary looking. I mean, it's just not.
Including the box truck that's literally stopped right at the edge where the span had fallen onto the ground. Oof. I mean, this truck just stopped, like, literally right at the last minute.
Oh, man.
So we're going to continue to follow that story. The big story here in Florida is the case we've been watching for the last month, the Marquise McLaughlin, Michael Drake shooting outside the convenience store in Clearwater.
That's where the guy pushed him down, and he falls on the ground, and he pulls out the gun. And when he pulls out a gun on the guy takes a step backwards, and then he shoots him in the side.
Right.
And then it's all stand your ground. That was not stand your ground. I believe in stand your ground. That was not it. If the guy's going backwards,
right,
he's not coming at you.
Well, the Pinellas County Sheriff, Bob Gualtieri, had instructed his deputies not to arrest Michael Drake, saying that there was a possible defense under the Stand Your Ground law. However, the state attorney, Bernie McCabe, said yesterday they've reviewed all of the evidence.
Yes.
And they believe the manslaughter charge is the one that they will be able to prove against the 48-year-old Drake, who's now sitting his butt in jail.
Good.
$100,000 bond.
And he had been accused of pulling his gun out a couple times.
Several occasions.
Several times before, just looking for someone to shoot.
Now, he's been accused of showing his gun during a road rage incident. He's been known to use the N-word, confront drivers. A truck driver said that he had a confrontation with Drake a year before over the exact same parking spot.
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, Drake wasn't parked in it. It's almost like he considers himself the handicapped parking spot police.
He's just looking for a fight.
Yeah, the convenience store owner says he is constantly in here, you know, picking fights with people. He's looking to get into confrontation. So the state attorney, Bernie McCabe, again, took his time, weighed all the preponderance of the evidence,
good,
and decided this was not understand your ground.
It
and
is not.
So now Michael Drake could be looking at 30 years in prison, which is what Marquise McLaughlin's father wants to see him sentenced
That's
to.
That's progress.
That
I
is
think.
Progress.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so, you
absolutely.
Know.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, anyone that sees that, I mean, I don't know how anyone could argue that stand your ground. As soon as the gun comes out, he's taking steps back. He's not being aggressive.
And that's part of what the state attorney referenced was the fact they were 12 feet apart, so
yeah,
there was no imminent threat of personal danger.
Nope.
He was walking away, and there was time. And he had turned away when Drake had pulled out the gun, hence the reason why the fatal shooting was in his side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting there yelling. I'm looking at the video now. I've never seen the video. I'm looking at it now on our YouTube page. And it is horrific. And I would have done... If somebody was pointing a finger at my wife
and yelling at your wife,
I would have probably knocked him out without asking, and then got shot just like that dude.
And most guys I know, especially men with children, the first thing they're gonna do, exactly. If you see someone who is acting aggressive toward your woman and your kids, the first thing you're gonna want to do is, hey, yo, dude, put that crap on me.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be dishing it out to my wife and my children.
Coward. You know what's sad is whenever I've seen this, they always show the father and the child walking in the convenience store to get some cookies and or whatever.
He's
like, he's just being a dad, just gonna take you in. And he comes out and someone's yelling at his wife. If I came out and someone's yelling at my wife, they're going down.
And he saw that too. The guy saw him walking in with this kid. Like I said, I've just seen the video, and boy, he staked him out.
It was like what's the thing when cops sit out and they
stakeout.
Yeah, stakeout, but then afterwards entrapment. You know, when it's almost like sitting there, all right, who's gonna be the person today that I get to show off my rules are rules, and I got my gun, I'm just itching to use it.
Can't wait to use my gun.
And the worst part is when he stumbled back into the convenience store, of course his 5-year-old son had witnessed the shooting and then witnessed him collapsing inside the convenience store.
On the text service said the victim was wrong to throw a punch or
that's ridiculous.
There's no report that the punch was thrown.
He did not throw a punch, he pushed him.
He's lying. Yeah, he's lying. The guy, this is what's happening. They're trying to change the narrative. This particular guy, again, sometimes they throw these little bombs for us to walk into it and bring this up. There's no documented proof of a punch thrown.
You can see it on the video. There is no punch.
Yeah, there's a push. So there's a two-hand push to get the guy away from the car, get away from his wife.
Well-deserved.
Whatever story you're trying, whatever narrative you're trying to change with your text, sir, it's not going to work.
Yeah, good. Because, yeah, I mean, come on. The guy's in your wife's face. What are you going to be? Excuse me, sir? Excuse me? I'll wait till you're done speaking and yelling and spitting in my wife's face and pointing a finger, and I will tell you to back off.
And some may handle it that way. Most of the guys I know are going to shove first and ask questions later just to get the threat away from their wife and children and get it turned onto themselves, which is where they think it should be in the first place.
Yeah. What else is happening?
Well, we've got Omarosa's book hitting bookshelves today.
Boy, that's just, you know,
that's all we need to say about that.
Boy, this whole thing is just so,
It's a reality show. It's just we have a reality show at the White House constantly. It's keeping up with the Trumps. It's the highest rated, most watched reality show in the world. We've finally done it. Our perverted guilty pleasures have finally found root into the highest levels of government, and we're watching a damn reality show. Insane.
I'm surprised that Donald Trump is surprised, because she was pretty much well known for being, you know, the villain.
Classic
villain. You didn't think a villain was going to turn on you? Like, you know, you should have known. But the whole thing about, though, being able to record meetings, I mean, are they going to change things now? Listen, nobody can have their phone anymore, because, you know.
They already had that, dude.
It should have been that way,
And she just was able to sneak it in, huh?
Yeah. You know, they're right. The rule's already been in place. No,
there's
you know.
Plenty of stories where I was coming out of there of how, I mean, there's rules. There's just ways protocols that are done in the White House. And this particular, group of people, this particular presidency, they have completely total disregard for all of them. Hey. One of the first instances is when he's in Mar-a-Lago and he's talking about the incident with the nuclear football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're just completely kind of, you know, willy nilly with all this stuff.
In one of the recordings they have, it's Donald Trump talking to Omarosa, and she's like, I didn't know you were fired. They didn't tell me that. No. Do you guys believe that he didn't know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you think he didn't know?
Did you hear what he said?
Because that's you know, John Kelly's job. He's chief of staff.
He straight up said, they run a big operation right here.
I had no idea.
Exactly. I definitely don't believe that he was aware of that. I think that was an honest response on his part.
I don't know about that, but it was interesting to hear how different his overall vocal tone and the way that he talked when he didn't think he was being recorded.
Yeah.
It was entirely different.
He sounded nicer.
He sounded super nice.
Yeah.
And he's just a master at presentation with what he's trying to feed you. He's a master. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Just that little clip that he played of a guy that has his shield down, and he feels very comfortable with somebody that has been his back, right? Omarosa has said time and time again that this guy was. And then to hear that, it's just very interesting to see how he presents what he presents, and that's why he's where he's at.
But because she's Omarosa, most people are not taking her word for anything. I mean,
which is why, you know, the predictions are her book is not going to sell very well. I mean, who's going to, like you said, Russ, who's going to take her word for anything?
She's the villain.
She's the villain.
So everybody's going to hate her more.
If she drops some audio that has, you know, Trump saying some racist thing. Look, I have no clue. I'm just literally posing the question.
She claims she heard it.
She heard it, right?
Yes, but the president also says that Apprentice creator Mark Burnett has promised him that no such tape exists.
Yeah,
but here's the deal. Listen to us. We're talking like we're talking about housewives.
Yeah.
We're talking like we're talking about Kardashian.
White Housewives.
Did Kim record Travis Scott when she was with Kendall because Kendall was wondering if he really did like her? Listen to us. It's gotten to this point. It's sad, man. You're a real newswoman, Deb. You're the real deal.
No, I
and
wanted
you
to hear
do
more
this.
About Kendall and Travis Scott because I really like Travis Scott. He's a cutie.
That album is fire.
Is really good.
But that's the thing. Like when people were mad at Obama, people would be like, it's
It's like, the policy, can you believe this policy, blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, can you believe Omarosa was fired? She has secret tastes. It's all meant to confuse and trick us.
And now, what's the
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, Stormy Daniels is now going to be on the version of Big Brother over in the
my
UK.
God.
Just making us look even better at the UK. This is the porn star that was with Donald Trump.
When does it stop?
That's embarrassing.
The part that bothers me is I better damn well not.
You can't put the toothpaste back in.
Yeah,
this is it.
All I know is I better not start seeing political ads on Pornhub or Brazzers or anything like that.
That would get people to vote.
That's going to be next.
Our next guest might have a little bit more information about when this may all stop.
Oh, he ain't going to know either. He ain't going to know nothing.
Maybe if we told people the brain was an app, they'd start using it.
Yeah. Ooh. Take that, roasted by Deborah Roberts.
I saw it on a meme. I got to give credit to the meme.
Just take a meme.
They're taking it from somewhere.
Exactly.
And, you know, all the political ads and stuff now, I mean, I'm already hearing people saying they're sick of them. We've only just begun. I know we're going to have a politician in here.
Yeah, Congressman Darren Soto is here.
I don't want to talk to him about
it's not about policy, I want to talk about the Kardashians.
In general, like the whole idea of running and stuff like that. I want it to be general, and we're not going to get into the little nooks and crannies of everything.
But if he tells you what's going on with Kendall and Travis Scott, will somebody please let me know?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's really what I want to know about.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you, Deborah Roberts. We appreciate it.
See you on the market.
And when we come back, we're going to have a guy who's actually running for an office. I don't know what office it is.
Congressman Darren Soto.
He's a congressman. Yeah, okay, all right. So we're going to find out, you know, how do you decide whether you're going to run a negative campaign or not run a negative campaign? Are you worried about things that might come out of the closet these days? Because, my God, everything is. So we'll talk about it in general with Darren Soto when we come back. You're listening to The Mantra of the Morning.
That's why I won't run.
Welcome back to The Monsters. Mornings on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Ryan Holmes here today. And today with us, we've got Darren Soto, who is running for... Well, you're already... right now, you are what?
I represent East Orlando, Osceola, and parts of Polk County in Congress already.
Running for re-election for Congress.
Yeah, yes. After serving about 10 years in the state legislature.
10 years. Okay, yeah. So you've been doing it for a long time.
For a while.
Okay, so I wanted to ask general questions, not like getting into policy and
Hard-hitting monster politics questions.
That's what I expected coming here on Monsters in the Morning. But we're going to talk about the issues.
I don't want to talk about the issues really. I want to talk about the general idea of running and the thought process that goes into it, and I'll tell you why. I've already got friends who are like, God, I'm so sick of the political ads. It makes us look like bad humans talking bad about each other and the negativity and like, how do you just? But here's the thing: if you got a guy that is doing that to you, if you don't go back at him, then you seem weak.
Right.
But then if you do go back at him, you're just getting in the mud with the pigs. How do you decide whether, when you're running a campaign, if you're going to take the high ground or high road or the low road?
Well, you go with your gut. First of all, and you'd be true to yourself. So I'm a very positive guy. I'm an undying optimist. I'm always trying to inspire people. But if I'm hit, you got to hit back. And so, for instance, in our race, we started out with a very positive ad talking about some of the accomplishments, some of the things we're doing to improve people's lives, which is a real question that you're supposed to be answering every campaign. But if you get hit and it's factually inaccurate, for instance, you have to respond back with why it's inaccurate, or you may just respond back with something related that's a hit that maybe relevant to your opponent and what they did wrong. But this is the thing. You don't want to be the first one to go there.
Yeah. You're not the first one to go negative, the low road.
But you have to respond if you get hit, but respond maybe with a counteroffensive rather than...
Because a lot of times, explaining is losing. Explaining is losing.
That's a saying here on The Monsters. Explaining is losing, for sure.
Darren Soto is here, and you've been doing this for 10 years. So the first time you ran...
The
first time you ran, and somebody used their campaign and said something that you know was not true, and it was inaccurate, and it was not true. First off, can you tell us what it was, and how did it feel?
Well, I can't even remember which ones were back then. I'll give you an example right now. You know, we had our last disaster relief vote for right before Hurricane Irma, and I flew back here with Val Demings, one of our colleagues in Congress here, and I live in Celebration, Florida, in Osceola County for the weekend, and went around the next day after Hurricane Irma assessing the damages, doing all the things I need to do. And there's an ad that went into whether I was in D.C. at the time of the hurricane, which is a total lie. And then West 2 came out and said it was a total lie, and Orlando Sentinel did. So I want to give people faith that, one, the voters are smarter than we all collectively think of each other. And two, an election's like a train or like a trial. It keeps moving along. So you lie and you think you get away with it and then you get caught.
Yeah.
You can't go back and build your credibility up. You're just down now.
But do you find that some people will see the ad and then not see the retraction or not see the other side? They just they see one thing and like, oh, that's what I remember, that this guy was nowhere around that day.
Well, you need to have a well-funded campaign to be able to get your message out. If a lot of people will just lose because they simply have a far more well-funded opponent who puts up lies with lots of money behind it, and then a lie becomes the truth if everybody believes it. But if you have enough funds and you have enough supporters and you get out there in the press and you talk about it, then you can get your message out, and then it could end up backfiring because people don't like liars.
No. Hey, Darren, have you ever had a campaign where you actually, though they had different opinion than you, you actually respected the person? It's like, we both respect each other. We're not going to, we didn't sling mud at each other. We just talked about the issues that were, has that ever happened?
Sure. In fact, for instance, in my first campaign, I ran against an attorney who was about 20 years older than me, who had been in office before, a gentleman named Tony Suarez, who were both of Puerto Rican descent and active attorneys around here. I won in a narrow victory. It was just yesterday that his son was talking about how after that election that we brought him in, asked his opinions, and we worked on issues together, particularly related to the Hispanic community around here. And yesterday his son came out and talked about how we started working together, and so he endorsed me. His son endorsed me yesterday.
Wow. Man, don't you wish it was like that all the time? You know.
Well, you have to have either thick skin, or I'm more of like a real Zen guy. So I get hit one day, and the next day I wake up and I feel good and I forget about it. But you got to be tough in this line of work. But you know, I think about it. Think about our firefighters or our veterans and our soldiers and so many people who have such like tougher physical jobs,
yeah,
and danger
and mental too. Yeah.
So that gives me a lot of perspective that even though when people attack me, it's over the TV, and you hear it like 10 times a day, and they may go after my wife or family, that there's still some people out there who are dealing with such real danger and real challenges that it keeps me in perspective.
So one of the things, here we are in 2018, and you know, skeletons in the closet, that's a big, I guess it's probably always been a big deal, but with social media and the things people either know or think they know, or bigger deal, is that a problem that something you think about, like, oh my God, back in high school I did this and I hope nobody ever, you know, puts it, I mean, do you have things that you're afraid that are in the closet?
Not really, but I would tell you though, I got elected young at 29 years of age.
Yeah, that is young.
I volunteered for races, then managed races, and I'm an attorney as well, and worked as an attorney during that 12 years. And I could tell you from the moment that I was running at 29, I just assumed everything I did was going to be in the public. And so you operate under different rules than other people.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. You don't accidentally get elected to office.
Right.
You choose to be there, well, and it's a public trust. Well, some people may. So most people don't accidentally get elected.
Yeah.
I mean, they win in a fluke, but they still ran.
Sure.
So
right.
You just have to operate on the assumption you're not going to get to make mistakes that other folks can make, and it's not on the front page or it's not in the news. So you just accept that if you're going to do this. And
you
didn't
answer the question of what are you hiding?
What are you hiding? Hey,
I'm not hiding anything. Nothing. You guys aren't hiding.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. Okay, when you're in Congress, do they tell you whether UFOs are real or not?
Yeah. Ooh, good question.
Oh, that's an excellent question. So I don't know if you all saw last year the Air Force released two videos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I've obviously seen them too.
When did you see it?
I saw it when it got released. Oh, I didn't know it existed to even look for it. I'm not on the intelligence committees. I'm on.
Got it.
I work a lot with environment and with agriculture too, because we have a lot of ag in the district.
Oh yeah.
But I obviously saw it when it hit the Washington Post, and you know, who knows what the heck those things are.
I know.
Now, they didn't call them aliens. They just said they're unidentified aircraft.
Right. Could be the Russians.
But I think we all recognize this. It's a vast universe, so who knows what's out there.
Hey, speaking of the environment, obviously a red tide is a...
Oh, terrible.
With your area that you cover, is that affected in any way? Do you have to worry about that?
So we care about it because we care about the state. You know,
yeah.
Our state is one of the most beautiful states in the Union. We have the best beaches and ocean and rivers and lakes. And so I don't care where everybody is at in the political spectrum. You're going to go out on your boat on the weekend. You're going to go out to the beach.
Sure.
You're going to go out hiking or barbecuing, and you want the state to be nice.
Yeah.
And tourism is a big part of it. So a couple of the things. One, we got everything from septic tanks to agriculture to fertilizer runoff going into Lake O, even wastewater from Central Florida. Mm. So a couple things that I'm personally working on is we have the Kissimmee River. Some of you may know about it. It's a really windy river in South Osceola that cleans a lot of the water going into Lake O. So we're working to make sure that has federal protection so that we don't get too many nutrients in there. We have a reservoir south of the lake that's being built right now that $500 million was put into the federal budget so that we could put more water flowing south. Because right now the water from a really dirty lake, and it was already a mud puddle before we even even modern times. That water is right now flowing out through the Caloosahatchee and the St. Lucie rivers. And because of all those nutrients, we're getting these red tides. And so it's absolutely something.
And it's killing, life. It's horrible. Another question, and I'm trying to get it all into it. But,
By all means.
This doesn't make sense to me. Maybe you can explain it to me.
Sure.
We do have the most beautiful state, I believe, in the entire country, right? And so when it comes to filming movies, filming TV shows and all that kind of stuff, it only shows the rest of the world how beautiful Florida is. And then as far as tourism, it's our big deal. Why do we not give tax incentives to people that are filming movies and TV shows and all that? It makes no damn sense.
We got to get Walking Dead down here,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Swamp Thing.
He was on Bloodline.
You were on Bloodline.
Yeah, and they had to stop filming because they didn't get tax incentives. Let's fix that, please.
First, I was a co-sponsor when I was in the state Senate of the film tax credit. We have everything from film lots in Disney and Universal to Full Sail to... And listen,
what's the argument against it?
That people in the state legislature value actual tangible goods and manufacturing rather than intellectual property, which is crazy. Because
ridiculous.
First of all, we come from a land where a cartoon mouse and a fictional wizard are our greatest assets.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Obviously,
right.
Intellectual property is pretty important. But I just think, for a lot of folks, they think it's frivolous. And that's sad because what do you do when you go home? You binge watch on Netflix or you watch this guy on Walking Dead.
Look at Georgia, man. That place is blowing up.
They are. Now, the other thing is...
Are the people that are making these decisions, did they just get Netflix last week? Like, they don't understand, technology?
I think they view, if you build a robot or a car, that's a legit thing. And while intellectual property is more...
Robots are badass. That's true.
Which is obviously ridiculous. Now, the only other thing is getting the receipts right so that when you are given the incentives, you're actually... going to make money at the end of it. We've had Louisiana go a little too far,
issues,
and they've had a budget issue. While Georgia's
that's
had
Louisiana.
Yeah, they're messing around.
No defense,
they don't even
Louisiana.
Tip,
but,
man.
But
they don't even tip.
But Georgia has had it right. Obviously, they have a film renaissance right now.
Yep.
And I think of all the people in Central Florida who are into the arts, and I mean that in the broadest sense, whether it's radio, whether it's film, whether it's movies, and how they have to leave here, and that really saddens me because we are a creative population here in
Central
Florida.
Are we closer than ever to getting that back, you think? I feel like that the heat is on with it, and maybe this next time we're.
With a new governor, potentially. Obviously, we have to see who wins the gubernatorial race, but I know some of the gubernatorial candidates have talked about it. Some of them came through tourism, which is, if you're talking about cruise lines, the entertainment's part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Some came through tourism in general, and we put on a show here in Florida in addition to having a beautiful state. And so I value it. Others do. This is what we do right. We're not Michigan where we build cars. We are Florida and Central Florida where we build dreams and experiences.
One more question. Okay, so sure. I'm curious how you view this. I'll tell you how I view it. When I see a politician hitching their wagon to a president, whether it's Obama or whether it's Trump or anyway, to me, they look weak. It's like, you got to hitch your wagon to this person in order to hopefully get votes from... What do you think about someone who's running for office and they're supposed to be a leader, yet they hitch their wagon to somebody else to hopefully get people to vote for them? Am I looking at it wrong?
Well, I think some people are just being strategic in what they think is going to help them win. I personally think you have to be independent-minded. You have to tell people what you're going to do to improve their lives. I mean, we work our tails off here in Central Florida. We have commutes. We have affordable housing issues we got to address. There's so many different issues. And so that's what most candidates should be talking about. But let's say in the case of Trump, he's very popular among the Republicans, at least in the primary. So I see a lot of my counterparts on
doubling
the other
down.
Side. They just Trump, 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 Trump. And that's what they're running on rather than the
To
issues.
Me, that looks weak.
But for them, if they just have a primary, because some of these seats are not as even as they should be. In Central Florida, we have a lot of seats that are close, like the seat I represent.
Now, I should say this. I was told we do have this whole thing, equal time. We're supposed to. So if we have equal time, we've allowed you to be in here today. Who is it that we have to invite to come in here and give equal time to?
I guess.
Who are you running against?
My opponent.
Yes, your opponent.
There you go.
Hey, yes. I've been doing this
absolutely,
a while, man.
Absolutely, yes.
Who's his opponent? Somebody tell me. I don't know.
It's Grayson.
Yeah,
Alan Grayson. That big. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. So, Deb, you can come in if you want to.
Alan can come in whenever he wants. This is the hottest political seat in town.
Yes, hard-hitting questions from us.
And you know what? And that is all the political stuff. Now let's get down to some fun stuff. What's your favorite movie? Like, I'm serious, because here's the deal. People elect people now by a personal attachment. It's crazier than ever.
That's a good question. What's your favorite movie?
Sci-fi guy, so Dune followed by Lord of the Rings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dune's out there.
Yeah. Dune's a bit out there.
Dune's a chance.
I thought you were going to say Aliens, but he said Dune.
That's throwing a chance. You might as well have said Ishtar with space.
Hey, you guys want me to pull which movie would be my best movie and then tell you guys?
You said your favorite.
Black Panther.
You said your favorite. That's good. All right. Well, listen, Darren Soto, thank you for coming in and explaining it to us. And like I said, we didn't get a Republican or Democrat. You just told us from your point of view, and I think that's very interesting. And I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
All right. And when we come back, Carlos will take you to the top. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Radio on my grind, ain't got no time for playing games. Money on my mind, I'm kicking ass and taking names. The heat is on, get out the kitchen if you can't handle the flames. I'm hustling, I was born to win, ain't never gonna change. Let me tell you now.
Hey, welcome to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. We are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. We're also live on our YouTube channel. Go to monsters.fm. Click right through. See the videos from last weekend, the skating party, and also the beer bus, or the brew bus. Yeah.
Monsters Brew Bus.
It was really cool. It was a lot of fun, and I do address the big question about boner pills in that video, and you can see that when you go to Monsters.
The nagging answer will be had. By the way, did you know that Alan Grayson has a spot voiced by Martin Sheen?
Yeah, oh, wow.
I heard out that. There right now. Did you hear that?
I did not
crazy.
Know that.
Damn. I heard it yesterday. I'm like, what is that guy doing?
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard it yet. I just heard some other ones over. Yeah, interesting.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, Ryan Holmes, and now Carlos. Take it to the top.
Let's go. Good morning, everybody. Hello. My name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To the Top. Every single morning, I try and take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. And today is no different. Today is an awesome, wonderful day. It is a Tuesday. And yes, we just did have Congressman Darren Soto in the house. And yeah, we did a little political segment. So those in the YouTube chat room who are talking away and having differences of opinions, guess what? That's why we had him here.
Yeah, you're engaged.
You're engaged.
We got you.
And look, whenever, and I'm not saying this happened, but whenever words or mean words, harsh words are thrown around, personal, then you have no conversation. But what I like about, especially what we have here on our YouTube page, is that people are talking in a respectful way. And that's what it's about, man. We got to get back to respect. We got to get back to being polite to each other. We got to get back to listening. It's okay to listen. I know. I love to talk. Trust me. I can be annoying because I love to talk. But a lot of times, I just check myself and I go, you know what? I should be listening now. And that's what we're trying to do here in the Monsters, man. Just try and get you to listen. Word. All right. And it is Tuesday. I was not here yesterday. I had a long weekend. I went and did a bunch of stuff. Shout out to everybody who came out to the skate night party on Friday. A bunch of people came out and collected just a ton of stuff for the kids for Gift for Teaching, which was the main goal. Thank you, Astro Skate. Thank you, everybody who came out. And then over the weekend, I had Walker Stalker Con here in Orlando.
How was that? How'd
it
go?
It was amazing, man. It was absolutely amazing. I want to thank, there was thousands and thousands of people. I met thousands of people out there. It was an unbelievable event. And Orlando, you did us proud, and you showed up. And they said the party that they threw that night was the best Walker Stalker party they had had in a long time. And it was just a great event. It was really, really amazing to see everybody out there. So shout out to everybody who came out. Big, big thanks. Now, today's a big day in
not movie history, but just music history in general. And I never understood this when it happened until I got older. I was like, oh, okay, let me try and get this. But today is the day that Michael Jackson, as this pulls up here, purchased a significant share of the Beatles' music library.
I never understood this whole thing. I don't know why the Beatles sold it, but I guess because he was willing to give them $100 million or something?
Yeah, well, ironically, well, I guess it would be ironically, it was Paul McCartney who put that in his ear. Mm-hmm. They were shooting the Ebony and Ivory video, and he said, you know, I do a horrible Paul, you know, investing in music libraries is a good idea. And Michael's like, and and he said, all right.
Actual quote.
Yeah, actual quote. And so, yeah, he said McCartney gave him sound financial advice that there's enormous wealth in music publishing. So Michael Jackson said, great. And in 1985, he purchased the publishing rights to the vast majority of the Beatles for how much money? Outbidding Paul McCartney.
Mm.
How much did he pay?
Ending the relationship.
I thought it was $100 million. I thought it was $100 million.
It is not $100 million. No. Jimmy, do you remember?
$75 million?
No, not $75 million. Ryan Holmes.
I'm going to go $200 million.
So wrong, and that hurts your overall average of
trivia.
No, so
it's
now
not
you're
official
just,
trivia question.
Yeah, I know it was officially licensed by Russ. He's a notary. Angel.
I don't know. $150 million?
For only $47 million. He purchased the vast majority, 251 of the Beatles' compositions.
Turned out being worth $1 billion just not many years after that.
Yeah, and so to understand the sound business reasoning behind Jackson's move to take control of the publishing rights of 251 Beatles' compositions, first you have to understand basically how it works. Every time that song is played, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. You know, and they got that thing locked down. They know exactly how much it is. But later on, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, the Beatles' primary songwriters, did something slightly more complicated. The publishing agreement they signed was with a company of which they were also part owners. That company, called Northern Seas, was formed in 64. And basically, they were able to figure out a way to get some of these songs back into their in their hands. Because now, it is estimated to be well over $1 billion.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the publishing rights and the per play is one thing, but the ability to sell those songs to companies to use them in their advertising campaigns is can be gross.
Didn't Paul McCartney buy some back, though?
Yeah. That's what we're saying, yeah. Michael Jackson, man. How long has it been since he's been dead now? Has it been 5 years, 6 years, 7 years?
I thought it's been longer than that. I don't know.
You think?
2018. When did he die?
He died. That's what I'm saying. I think was it 2008 he died?
So it's like 10 years?
I don't know. That's 2009. I remember where it was. Is it 9?
2009.
Yeah, so he's been dead a minute.
2009. And happy birthday to this. Some people consider him a genius. I like Steve. Well, I just gave it away. Steve Martin.
I was at Irwin.
Steve Martin is a genius, I think.
Yeah, Steve Martin. Yeah, comedy genius.
I just watched The Jerk again the other day.
Yeah.
All-timer.
Every time, it's funny.
He's in that David Letterman realm for me, where I'm like, I appreciate it. I get it, but I don't like, I'm not right, like, yeah. You know, like the genius is like, I don't see it.
That's
know?
The thing with me with what's his face? The guy who fools everybody.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. That's same exact thing with me. Like, I look at him like, I know he's funny. I know people love it. Not my thing.
Did you see the new episode?
I did. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Like, how do you get
Jimmy?
His...
You got to, oh, man.
He made like a politician simulate a sect act.
Yes.
Or something.
Yes. Did you see it?
Just read about it.
It's amazing that this guy actually did this. I mean, this is a politician. It really is amazing that he can talk these people into these things.
It really is. I think he is a genius. And
Ryan, have you seen it? Have you seen the new
Who Is America? I've only seen the clips on YouTube, but Showtime is blowing up. I need to get Showtime.
Showtime's doing damn well, and it's one of the main reasons I'm keeping cable around. But I guess you can do it.
You can get
app.
The app now. Yeah.
I got it with the app, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe I should get
it. Well, and through Amazon Prime? Or
that's why I have
yeah,
it.
You yeah. just buy it a la carte.
Yeah.
However you want it. Whatever shows. I mean, that's it.
I got to figure that out because that sounds good to me. But yeah, it's Steve Martin's birthday today. And yeah, his first big box office hit
was The Jerk. Mm-hmm. And what a crazy career that guy's had.
He made a number of really odd movies before that, like Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
Yeah.
And movies were really bizarre like that.
Was that before or was that after, I think?
I think it was before The Jerk, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Jerk is first, I think.
He reteamed with Jerk Director. Yeah, Jerk was first. Yeah, and then Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid in 82.
There you go, yeah, right.
And then The Man with Two Brains.
There you go.
Yeah, it was 83. Man. I never saw these. Then All of Me in 84.
What's the one where he's got like a patch on his eye and he has a cork on his fork and he goes to eat
it. Oh, that's the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, dude. That's a brilliant comedy. That's underrated, dude.
That's really good, yeah.
And The Three Amigos. That's like my favorite. Yeah,
yeah. Parenthood, Father of the Bride, Cheaper by the Dozen. I mean, the guy's list is ridiculous.
He gave up stand-up. He stopped at the top, and that blows my mind. And he's got a great book about it and how he just was doing stand-up, and then he started to notice the stadiums weren't fully filled anymore. Like, you'd see a couple seats, and he's like, well, I guess I'm done here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of odd. I mean, there's a book he wrote called Born Standing Up. I think it's a must-read for anybody who wants to be in the business of entertainment because it shows you what kind of what it takes to do it, you know, what kind of commitment, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So happy birthday, Steve Martin. And I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top. Never stop.
All right, when we come back, Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports, right? Oh, you got something? Okay, all right. We'll do that when we come back. Don't go in. Oh, we got food.
Ooh.
Ah, who's our food from?
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, right? Oh, we got
that
food.
That is correct. You guys got to go grab that right now.
Oh, we got to get some food. All right, you're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Yeah, we don't like you either, but it's a really easy way to keep up with all our contests. Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando.
All right, listen. Here's the thing. If you've got credit cards, you might not know what kind of interest you're paying. A lot of people don't even pay attention to that. Thank you to Twin Peaks for bringing us some food today.
Oh, yeah.
It's
really good.
August the 14th is Customer Appreciation Day with $5 cheeseburgers and fries. Oh, that's good. They got great food.
I like it.
On August the 20th through the 24th, it's a back-to-school costume party at Twin Peaks. So
those are always hot, man.
Yeah.
Remember, there was no better day than when the costume contest would have come around Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah. That's right. So we were thinking, what did you guys get to eat?
I got a piece of chicken with like some spices and a little bit of mashed potato and broccoli, and then they got quesadillas, and they got... Jimmy tried to take all the food from everybody.
Yeah, he did. That was awesome.
Yeah. He was like...
What'd he do?
Well, apparently all the food, we're supposed to share it with other people.
Yeah. Had no idea. Jim got told about halfway through. But I was picking up an entire tray of stuff. I'm like, let's get it.
I thought they made it for us. I know. I walked over there and I didn't know what was supposed to be for us or we're supposed to share, so I just walked
out. They're like, let's save some for Brandon Kravitz. And I was like, who?
Yeah.
I don't know. Never heard of him. His last name's Kravitz. He didn't deserve anything.
So anyway, we want to thank Twin Peaks for bringing us some food, and we appreciate it. So welcome back to the Monsters. I'm Russ Rollins. I'm with Dirty Jim, Carlos, Ryan Holmes, and now Angel will bring you Monster Sports.
Monster Sports brought to you by my guys over there at Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando's premier sports bar, pub, restaurant. Definitely go hang out there. If you've got any event going on downtown, you're going to a concert, you're going to a show at Dr. Phillips, and you want to grab something to eat, you want a pre-party, hit my guys up. Great bar staff, great food, great place to hang out. And we got a couple things coming up with those guys here in the future. So a real good partnership with them. That's Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando, located right there on Church Street. Saturdays, as college football gets ready to kick off, Saturdays they are in FSU. If you're an FSU fan, that's your bar to go to. You're going to be with other FSU fans. And on Sundays, with NFL season kicking off, if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, they become Orlando's premier Buffalo Bills bar as well. So, you know, plan accordingly. Again, that's Harry Buffalo, downtown Orlando. This is why I love Monster Sports. This is why I love the Monsters at Real Radio 104.1. Yesterday, a news story broke, and my Twitter feed for the last 12 hours, 15 hours, has been dominated with this one story. Because I have, you know, like one of the rules that I talk about when I do Monster Sports, what is it, guys?
No Tebow?
No girl sports.
Yeah.
I typically cover home teams, right?
Oh, yeah, no Tampa bull crap. Yeah.
Oh, it's funny you should say that.
Something happened to me this weekend similar, and I was pissed about it.
It's funny you should say that. So, because the Tampa Bay Lightning needs all the help they can get, they went out and procured the premier ECH league Orlando Solar Bears and signed a deal with them.
What do you mean?
Why?
I'm rearranging the phrase. It's actually a really cool thing for the Orlando Solar Bears. The Orlando Solar Bears have entered a three-year affiliation agreement with the Tampa Bay Lightning of the NHL. This is from Steve Yzerman, announced that yesterday. The Solar Bears will serve as the Lightning's primary ECHL affiliate starting the 2018-2019 season.
That's amazing.
That's a really
this
good
is
look
huge
for them. Yeah.
That's
a big deal. The Lightning will play a preseason game against the Florida Panthers in the Amway Center in Orlando, Tuesday, September the 27th. Tickets go on sale August the 23rd here at Ticketmaster. So it's a real cool affiliation for the Orlando Solar Bears. I'm really proud, you know, happy for the organization, happy for the guys. You need this kind of these kind of relationships, in especially to get your name, get your platform out there. So. You know, good looking out, good. I mean, and in Tampa Bay, right? Tampa Bay having the wherewithal to recognize that they want to get around a good brand.
A good city. Yeah, city, a wholesome
something,
city.
Yeah, something to clean up their little image a little bit. Yeah. You know, I get it. I understand why you want to align yourself with the Orlando Solar Bears.
Absolutely. The winning Orlando Solar Bears. Exactly. Look, Tampa Bay is doing great, but that's Tampa.
I see you're trying to repair the relations between Orlando and Tampa. Good job.
is that not transparent?
It happened this weekend at the Walker Stalker. They do these individual, like, artistic posters for each city, right? And they did Orlando. So obviously I walked over. I'm like, ooh, it had King Ezekiel as Mickey, and they had Jerry and this. I'm like, all right. And then I start seeing Tampa Bay Rays shirts and Miami Dolphins players. And the artist's like, yeah, I made this. And I looked at him, I was like, well, did you talk to anybody that lived in Orlando?
Because you left people off?
Yeah.
Who'd they leave out?
The most important member of the Orlando Walking Dead, Alvaro.
Oh, my God. Oh.
That, but that's not my point. My point was that adding these additional things, like Orlando can't hold its own. You have to add in the Miami Dolphins. And then another guy had the Mount Rushmore of Orlando Magic. And guess what? Grant Hill was on it. I literally almost ripped it in front of his face.
Whatever. Yeah, that's more ridiculous than anything you just said.
Listen, it was two of them. And I saw it because they would do like sports Mount Rushmores, right? And whatever city they go into, they would create that one. Well, they had two Orlando ones. I walked up to it. The first one had Shaq, Penny, Grant Hill, and T-Mac. And I literally looked at him and said, that's offensive, like, to have that.
I mean, isn't there a 20-game minimum?
Exactly. And then the other one he had was Dwight, T-Mac, Shaq, and Penny. I said, that's right. That's
I would say even Nick Anderson, maybe.
I mean, I like Grant Hill.
Yeah,
I mean,
he seems
like a nice guy.
But even he would be like, nah. You know, throw me over the Pistons one.
All right, so let me ask you guys this. Because I think this is hysterical. If you're a fan of this, do you take it in stride and understand what's going on here, or do you get completely pissed off? Cleveland Brown fans, right? Cleveland Browns football team. What did the Cleveland Browns accomplish last season in the NFL?
They did not win.
They didn't
win a game at all. Was that the first NFL team that did that?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Actually, it may be.
So, we have what's called a victory fridge.
What's a victory fridge?
What the hell is that?
It's one that stays fully stocked.
Yeah, I'm glad you're mentioning this, right? So, Bud Light, in partnership with the Cleveland Browns,
yeah,
throughout the city of Cleveland, has got these giant fridges full of Bud Light.
Okay.
Chained them up.
Okay.
Huge lock on the front.
Okay.
10 different bars in Cleveland.
Okay. I don't even know what this is, but I'm loving this. I don't even drink beer, and this sounds like awesome.
All right. So, if you happen to be at one of these bars, and they get their first win, all their beer is free.
Oh, that is awesome promotion, man. That is great. Innovative stuff Budweiser's doing now, man.
Too bad that no one is going to get to drink it.
Sorry, Cleveland Browns. That's going to be some old-ass beer 2 years from now.
Yeah.
So they hit up 10 bars in Cleveland, and they got the victory fridges. And if you happen to be at one of these bars with one of the first wins, all the beer in there is free.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's a cool idea.
They were like, what can we do that we know we're not going to lose this beer?
Right, this beer is safe.
All the promotion, but safest beer in the world.
Disturbing report in regards to one James Harden, comical, I don't know. Houston Rockets star James Harden is accused of throwing a woman's phone as the woman videotaped a fight involving a member of Harden's entourage. According to the report, Harden is alleged to have grabbed the woman's wrist and thrown her cell phone on the rooftop of a nightclub in Scottsdale, Arizona. Then one of Harden's boys rolled up and offered her this amount of money for her not to say anything.
Wow.
What's the amount of money you think?
I'll give you $100.
He has, He has one of the biggest contracts in the NBA. He has one of the biggest shoe endorsements.
This was the deal.
I'll give you $125.
The NBA would dream that this would be the only deal they have to deal with stars.
This is the deal.
They grab somebody's cell phone and throw it on a roof.
Right.
Because that's 10 grand away from never being heard of again. Right, I say 10 G's.
So the deal was, hey, listen, I'll give you this amount of money for your cell phone, but you can't say nothing. You know, you don't talk about it. Don't say anything about it. It's over right now.
50,
you, and so you think it was 10,000?
10.
All right.
50 G's.
50.
Man, 100,000 is way too high.
Really? For the MVP of the NBA not to have to deal with S on Twitter?
Okay, I'll give you $100,000. I'll say 100,000 just sounds stupid.
Holmes?
I'm going to say 5,000.
5,000. All of your guys' numbers, I think, if he would offer that amount of money, we would have never heard this story.
Oh, my God.
But he gave her $300.
Oh, see? I said $100.
Yeah. He offers her $300.
And that's why you're hearing about it.
Yeah. He offers her $300, and then she still sells the story to TMZ.
She took the $300 and still sold it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to sign an NDA, dude.
Yeah.
Man, but
you should travel with one.
And now he's going, man, I gave you $300.
But if I'm in James' position and it's going down and I see one person filming, I'm not going to try and grab a wrist, but I sure as hell am going to grab that phone and chuck it as far as I can into the deepest lake and then start pulling out cash.
That's Beardman, right?
That's the MVP. He's on the cover. Well, he was on the cover, I think, of Live last year. The dude is arguably the one of the best players, arguably the best player in the league.
Yeah. Or he's at least within the top five.
If he played defense, he'd be one of the best all around players in the league.
How active are your fans? All right, so Denver Broncos fans have started. They apparently are not fans of Paxton Lynch.
Uh-huh.
Paxton Lynch is their quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's so bad that a Colorado fan set a GoFundMe page to raise this amount of money to have the Denver Broncos release him.
Oh, my God, man.
Broncos fans can be brutal, dude, by the way. They can be brutal. By the way, he's not John Elway, guys, and no one's ever going to be.
Yeah.
So get over it and move forward.
So a fan in Colorado set up a GoFundMe page to raise $600,000 to cover the Broncos' cost of cutting the quarterback, Paxton Lynch, off the team roster.
Man. What did he do? What did he do to this guy? Like,
He's not delivering, and they paid him a top. I mean, they are giving him top money.
And he was their number one pick last year.
A year or two ago, they made a deal for him. If the Broncos were to cut Lynch, they would carry the salary cap hit of $4.45 million this season, and then $1.87 million in the 2019-2020 season.
He's their quarterback,
and he's their QB. Yeah. He's just not a fan favorite. He hasn't delivered, and then. LeSean McCoy, again, story is just not, you know, more and more we get into it, more darker and darker. LeSean McCoy is sued by ex-girlfriends who says he has the footage of the violent attack that was attacked on her. So proof of what happened. Had access to the live footage of the cameras of her place when this was going down, so that if there's rumor of this footage of, you know, because the accusation is that
he tried to get somebody to beat her up
and grab jewelry from her.
Right.
Right.
And his place. And he's the one that has access to the cameras. And they're trying to get that access to the cameras. She's filing suit against them.
And the people who I think are kind of talking, some of them, most of them anonymously believe this guy's got this gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that this guy has it in him to pull something like this. And when you look at how the evidence rolls out, I mean, it doesn't point a lot of other places.
Yeah, it's more and more disturbing as we get more and more information on this. That's Monster Sports. And again, a quick reminder, if you get a chance, check me out this afternoon. I'll be sitting in with Shot Doctor on the finish line. I'll be doing that the rest of the week.
Oh, nice.
So
I'll be checking that out, man. I will.
Look forward to that. Monster Sports on 96.9 The Game.
Very nice.
Yes, sir.
And once again, we want to thank Twin Peaks for bringing us some lunch today. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it.
Very good.
All right, don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Hey, welcome back to the Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins on with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and Ryan Holmes all here today. Remember, all day long, you have an opportunity to win tickets for two to Vegas to the iHeartRadio Music Festival. It's September 21st and 22nd. And if you win, you get, like, airfare. You get a cool place to stay. You get to go to this great concert. It's awesome.
Ridiculous. Yeah, you remember Sean went one year, Sean Watson, the news junkie, and said it was an amazing event. And we've had a couple of the winners call us back afterwards and say that it's an amazing event as well. So
even Bo usually only likes country music, but he went one year, and he and Tracy went, and said it was awesome, you know?
Yeah, they sent out the employee prices for that thing if you want to do it right, like VIP it up.
Yeah.
And we have to save a little bit more for that one.
I'm surprised you didn't do it because you're doing all the concerts this year. Are you serious?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, to do it up for all 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, that's that much large. Wow. For all 3 days. I mean, that's the Mac Daddy experience.
Sure.
I mean, that's like literally they, you know, you have enough VIP lanyards to wallpaper your... you're a den with, but yeah, that's the experience. But believe it or not, the one that's a step down from that, really isn't that much cheaper. So, I mean, it's, you know, if you want to go out there and blow it up, you know, and see all those great acts, you know,
hey,
you got to come with a cash.
You know how they announced last week or whatever that in order to try to get more people watching the Academy Awards, they've added a thing, and it's the best popular film.
Most popular
film. And so what they've done is they've gone through the past several years and told you what won for best picture that year, and then what would have been nominated for most popular, and you can tell me what you think would have won.
Yeah, before you read that, I'm kind of with Carlos on this. We brought this up I think last week or whatever, and really, isn't it kind of anticlimactic in the sense that, I mean, we know the numbers are the numbers. The most popular movie is the movie that's seen the most, which, i.e., is the movie that makes the most money, right?
Well, that's what I would think. But when you look at these lists without knowing, let's see how much we remember.
All right,
in 2010, the Oscar went to The Hurt Locker for the best film.
Which was a great movie, by the way.
Great movie, but...
Jeremy Renner.
This would have been the nominations for the most popular movie. Would it have been Avatar, The Hangover, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and then the Twilight Saga, New Moon. Out of all those, I mean, those are pretty popular. Now, obviously,
right,
we know Avatar probably made the most money.
Yeah, it is the number one earning movie of all time, is it not?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the most popular movie ever made. So I say Avatar wins.
So over Hangover.
Well, yeah, but again, it made $1 billion and Hangover did not.
Right.
Yeah, I would say I would have to go with Avatar too, just on that logic alone.
Again, that's what makes it so silly. It's like popularity means people went to see it. It was the most popular, not the most artistic, not the most moving. The cinematography doesn't necessarily have to be the best. It just is the most popular. And Avatar, we know by the numbers, is the most popular movie of all time.
All right. That one's easy because Avatar, we all know, that is the most popular or the most, more people went to it and it sold the most, even though there might be an argument for The Hangover. But anyway, so this is 2012. The Artist won.
That was that silent movie, right?
Yes. So it would have been up against Bridesmaids, Captain America First Avenger, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Mission Impossible Ghost Patrol, or Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So that's who it would have been up against. Now, I don't know what made more money.
It was the Avengers.
And was it the Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
That Captain America movie, though, that wasn't, like, the biggest one in their line. I think against the Harry Potter movie, like, the last Harry Potter movie?
Yeah, I think Captain America. Oh, the last Harry
the
Potter
last
movie.
Harry
yeah,
Potter
that
movie.
would have won. Does I think you put them all together, the most popular. I don't know what the category is, though. Like, what is the actual
It's
category?
Most popular movie. Now I will say this. Entertainment Weekly did this thing, and then they asked a poll of people what you think would have won. Avatar, we all were right about that. Everyone said Avatar would have won. But in this particular category, everyone said it would have been Bridesmaid.
Yeah, Bridesmaids still is a super funny movie.
Even though Captain America First Avenger, I think we know, made more money, the way people remembered it as, well, out of all those movies...
Do we
the
know
most,
that?
Well, maybe they're talking about...
I mean, do you have that number? Do you have the numbers of what they made?
No, I do not. But I mean, we all know
they made more than Bridesmaids.
Yeah, no question it did. But I wonder if this means social media impressions? And has other inputting factors, because when it comes to that, I mean, I know a lot of people, like when I heard about Bridesmaids via Facebook, but you know, the other movies, people don't like, hey, you know, you don't tweet out about the Avengers movie.
You know what it should be called? It should be called the Impact Award, and it should be the impact on culture.
Could be, that's what all these kind of really do. It's like, what was the year?
I'm going to agree with that.
You know, Black Panther would be the impact award. Because if you do most popular, everybody has their own thing. But there's, like, you can't say, like, look, Black Panther came out this year. It was undeniable the impact it had.
100%. So, that's actually a wonderful idea. They should have gone with something like that.
So without knowing the box office numbers, what do you think Entertainment Weekly said would have won for the most... most popular. Okay, so this was 2013. The one that won was Argo. Okay,
great movie.
Nominated for most popular would be for that year: Django Unchained, The Hunger Games, Marvel's The Avengers, The Dark Knight Rises, or Skyfall. What do you think they say wins?
I would say The Avengers.
You say The Avengers. What do you think?
Isn't Dark Knight the one with Heath? No. You got to give him. You give that award to it because that changed the genre of what is the tentpole business.
All those movies came out the same year?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
2013,
Yeah, you got to go Dark Knight. Man. I mean,
that's what they have. They have Dark Knight one for that one. Okay, so
I like Django probably better.
But
Carlos, you do have the Impact Award? We do have that.
Oh, do you?
No, they do. They have it in the MTV Movie Awards.
Oh, okay. See, I had no clue.
Maybe
that's probably where my brain said, hey, that's a good idea.
That's what I'm saying.
Not the Academy Awards, though.
Exactly, and that's what we were talking about in the sense that there's other awards that are out there that that give this out, right? Other award shows that do this. And it's a blatant grab to try to make if they want ratings, and this is why they created this award, they want to get better ratings. Well, put together a better show.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like the low-hanging fruit of a way to try to get to boost some ratings, you know?
Yeah.
In 2014, 12 Years a Slave won for Best Picture. For nominees for what would be the most popular for that year, and see if you guys agree with Entertainment Tonight, who said they did their poll, and that's what people said. You have The Conjuring, Frozen, Gravity, The Hobbit, Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
Read it again.
Oh, Frozen. No, Frozen means that going away.
Frozen
was a juggernaut there.
It's got to be Frozen.
It's the most popular animated film of all time.
In 2015, it was Birdman that won. It would have been up against American Sniper, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Gone Girl, or the Lego Movie.
Guardians.
That changed that pushed the genre as well.
You guys got it right on the money.
It is funny, though, because the first one he said, Avatar versus The Hangover, is like, name an Avatar quote right now, go.
Yeah, it should have been The Hangover. The more I hear that, because that did have that impact that people were quoting it, and it created spun off two more, and actually spun off a genre of these, you know, crazy,
hard
films. Yeah.
So in 2016, the Oscar went to Spotlight. Nominees, they say, for most popular for that year would have been Inside Out, Avengers Age of Ultron, Star Wars The Force Awakens, Straight Outta Compton, or The Martian.
Avengers.
That's a tough one. I mean, none of those movies were like bombastically great movies, I don't believe.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron.
That launched
that whole thing.
Was that the first?
That's the first one. That's where we first see Thanos.
Well, according to this particular poll they did, Star Wars The Force Awakens, it would have gone to them.
I didn't even hear you say that. Yeah, is that the first one that coming back like that after they took a long break?
I believe
that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Then we'll go and see 2017. It was La La Land or Moonlight. No, it was Moonlight that won. Moonlight won.
Oh, God, man. Only time I saw Moonlight, man. Yeah, talk about a depressing.
Depressing. I don't need
even though, it was good. I get it. Mm-hmm. But that is a perfect example of a guy. Like, I forgot his name, Mashara Ali, the really great actor who's in House of Cards and everything. He's in it for like 5-10 minutes. Dude wins an Oscar, and the rest of the time it's nominated.
So, for popular film that year, it would have been Mad Max Fury Road, Finding Dory, Deadpool, Captain America Civil War, or Fantastic Beast, and Where to Find Them.
No, Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool.
Yeah, not even close again. I mean, starting an entire different genre of superhero movies.
Yeah, sorry. No sequels in this. Like, we've already homogenized it down to make it this, you know, just a big ticket thing. How about we make it so we don't have the Finding Dorys, which are just like nobody remember. It made a lot of money. People will like, Incredibles 2. But everybody will forget about these sequels that just...
And let's face it, that's an obligation ticket purchase.
Yes.
Because you saw the first movie, you have to see Finding Dory because it's just like it's continuing the story. And with kids, that's what you do.
So in 2018, they went to A Shape of Water. The nominees for most popular, if they were doing it, would have been Beauty and the Beast, Wonder Woman, Get Out, It, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, that's tough because Get Out and It, I think, are the two...
Get Out.
Get Out wins it. Man, it's still
it's a remake.
Being talked about. They're talking about being in the sunken place. It's talking about in this moment in time in history. I would say Get Out.
It was a wonderful bridge of two parts of our history, along with a little bit of a sci-fi thing to go in there,
totally.
Too. It was a really unique movie, and I would probably have to agree, even though, because it's a remake.
They have here, would have won. It says
it's the original Stephen King movie, right?
No, it's not a remake. No. It's a totally original screenplay.
Yeah, but the
character. No, Get Out. I'm sorry. I thought you were Get Out.
No. Yeah. I know Get Out is. I'm just saying. I mean, you're talking about remakes or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it can't get in there, even though it was a great movie.
I agree.
It doesn't compete with Get Out at all.
Wasn't it a TV movie, though?
It was.
They have winning, it says hands down, Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Why? Because it was a chick for the...
I mean, because it was the first female...
Successful
female superhero movie, I guess. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was good. You didn't like it.
I didn't think it was a good movie.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a good movie.
I didn't think Black Panther was a good movie.
Yeah, I tried to watch Black Panther the second time. I did not enjoy it as much as I did the first time. And the first time, I think I was all caught up with the fact that I had this young couple next to me with their kids, and they were black kids, and they were so excited. I think I was caught up in that. And then when I went back and watched the movie, I was like, I don't really like it that much.
Bring me some black children. I need to see this.
Yeah, I've had some black kids to watch with. I'd love to like it, but I didn't really like it as much as the second
time. This movie is coming with black kids.
But I did like Wonder Woman the second time. So that's what they had. Now, this year, what would be the popular movie movies that are out
this year?
The Meg.
I think
A Quiet Place hit that, where everybody was
gotta go see The Meg.
I
saw The Meg over the weekend.
Did you?
It was amazing.
At 4D?
I didn't get to go to the 4D, but I got the big screen experience and everything.
Mm-hmm. It is everything
you want.
I know.
In a summer August action movie.
The reviews are different than your opinion, I will say that.
Why even review it? Jesus H, dude. It's a CGI ship-sized shark. Say that 15 times.
I'm in.
By the way, is it Deadpool 2 maybe on that this year?
Oh. Sequel didn't.
It didn't make the same.
It did not have the same.
I didn't have the same promotion for it. The promotion did, but like anytime you see a sequel, that's why like your Godfather Part Twos of the world, like these ones that I don't even know if you can make a sequel now that will be an all time classic. I don't know, the Avengers one. I didn't see the final.
Oh, it would be the Avengers, for sure.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good.
I enjoyed it. That's the not even a sequel. That's the 10th or 11th movie in that series. So all the popular movies, it's all basically Disney films.
Yep,
is what's winning the popular vote. So
especially
right.
Now with them buying the Fox licenses.
Yeah. Jurassic World came out this year, right?
But it was the part two, whatever. I think the first one back could have been nominated.
The Greatest Showman came out this year?
Last year, but this is The Greatest Show, and that should have won every year.
No, that would be this year, right?
No, Greatest Showman came out last year.
It came out in 2017, but I think, because it's up for the awards this year, right?
But it
came out in December, though.
Yeah, it got nominated last go-around, because it got nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, that's right.
For one of the songs or something.
One of the songs or something like that.
Yeah, Mission Impossible, they have up here, Incredibles 2.
The Incredibles,
Infinity War, Solo, came out this year. A Quiet Place, Rampage.
Quiet Place is good.
Yeah, Venom, is that coming out soon?
That's going to come out soon,
That's the thing. Academy Awards be the Academy Awards. Let them have the artsy movies that are always going to win. They don't need the popular category. That's why you got the MTV Awards.
They need to get a better show producer then, or better show runner.
Hey, the
reason they're doing this is because their show sucks. It stinks. It's horrible to watch.
Would you agree that if they're going to have a comedian, they should have a comedian that doesn't go for politics? Because political jokes, you're going to piss off half the audience. And if you're really worried about ratings, you probably should stay away from a comedian that does political jokes.
That sounds like an Obama. I'm a supporter right there.
Maybe.
It is. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think you should because it's also a real weird dichotomy of the audience there cheering for more liberal ways.
Yeah.
And then the audience at home going like, see, this is what I'm talking about. So there's like layers on top of it. And really, let's say Marvel, let's say Avengers gets nominated. Our kid's going to be like, Dad, we got to watch the Oscars tonight to see if they win that impact. Yeah.
They're not going to watch it. I mean, unless you have performances or something. And by the way, there's a movie that's out. That I don't know if you guys talked about it on a Friday show that I didn't get to hear or whatever. Have you heard about this movie, Eighth Grade?
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, and apparently it is a game stopper. Like, it's amazing.
It's Bo Burnham directed, and Bo Burnham is just, he's one of the most talented guys, straight from YouTube. That's where he was founded, and
And he is a, when I first saw his stand-up on Netflix, I said, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. And it was very inspiring, and then I see him directing this film. And then he directed Chris Rock's stand-up special, and I think he's, what, 27?
27, yeah. 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.3 on IMDb, and its Metacritic score is 90%.
So it's out now?
Yeah, it's called Eighth Grade. It's playing at a number of our local big theaters.
I know it's not Fast Times at Ridgemont High in the sense of comedy, the style, but it definitely has that feel of it capturing this generation of people struggling.
Like a moment in time, yeah, kind of thing.
Having to be super happy when you're on camera because the girl runs a social YouTube account. Yeah. And she's really crazy on camera when you see her, and then when she cuts it off, I'm lonely and alone. And that's like a lot of people these days and the troubles that parents deal with. And I haven't seen it, but I really do want to see
it. It's that A24 studio.
Yeah, they're doing just fire stuff.
That's a good problem. Yeah.
Makes movies under $20 million that all make $100 million.
Hey, Angel, this is a really good point here. Out of all the things we read, how come none of the Fast and Furious movies were in there for an Oscar?
Oh,
because they're idiots.
They deserve something. No, you take that car, you go.
They don't understand. They don't understand what living your life at a quarter mile at a time is like.
But can you imagine Vin getting over there? I want to thank the Academy.
They won all the Academy Awards for stunts.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vin Diesel. Wins. Man, I doubt Vin Diesel wins an Oscar.
But they should incorporate into the show what Marvel is doing now live for these things. They're like got BMX bikes. They're flying over the thing. Like make that with every movie where you see a live stage show of something. Even the real serious drama ones about like serious issues.
Yeah, Shape of Water 4D.
Yeah, just hell yeah.
Get real wet.
All right, you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Tuesday, so Dirty Gym Tuesday, you'll be cooking, but today you're cooking with your son, not with your wife.
That's right. She's going to T-Swizzle tonight in Tampa, leaving me all alone. My boy's going to come over, and we're making Cajun shrimp pasta tonight.
Ooh.
So it's a real popular menu item on a lot of menus, and people, I see it on my on our page, Drink, Eat, Repeat, and they're like, yeah, a lot of people are making it. So tonight I have some shrimp from Petty's. We're going to make that nice Cajun shrimp pasta tonight. So tune in, 7 o'clock, Primetime Kitchen's Hal. Facebook page.
Very nice. And then Ryan Holmes, you'll be at Hammered Lamb tonight, right?
Yeah, the one and only Hammered Lamb right over there off Ivanhoe. It's free to play trivia from 6 to 8. And then every time the train goes by, which is a lot, you get a free shot. So hang out.
What are the prizes up for grabs at your trivia game?
Oh, man. At Hammered Lamb, it's always a full bottle of alcohol. They always get some kind of alcohol sponsor. So a lot of times it's like a Smirnoff vodka or something. You get that at your table. Whatever you do with that at that moment is up to you. Then gift cards for 20 and 25 bucks.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And my favorite thing is when he'll take like a poster from a movie and he'll draw his own version of it on like, what are you drawing on?
Microsoft Paint.
Yeah, that's and it's great. Like, what the hell is that? And then when you see, you're like, oh, okay, I get it now.
But it is crazy how our minds collect this data of movie posters and they stores it back there. And you may not have thought of the Emperor of the Sun in over 10 years. And then you see an image, so you go, well, that's obviously the Emperor's son.
Yeah, so it's cool. I try to do fun stuff like that. It's not your standard trivia. It's not your super smart trivia. It's just fun. We're drinking. Come hang out with me.
It is a lot of fun. It's fun. And then, Angel, today you're going to be you'll be hosting with
Coach. I'm sitting with Shy Doctor during the finish line. So, and I'll be actually doing that all
good
week.
Good to see you again.
Can you keep him in line, please? He's just a maniac.
Okay, I love that guy.
Hey, he's the weirdest guy in the building.
By a million.
He loves it. And I love him.
It's always great to see him again.
Yeah. One of the greatest stories in radio, by the way, his career.
Yeah. He's not playing a character, right? No. I've never personally met him. I've only heard him.
No. He's
that's just him all the time.
So how's he feeling about the magic, Dina?
Actually, we'll find out.
Yeah,
we have a couple, because there's a couple things he wants to ask me about specifically, because I have some of the things that I've said. And
Shot's pretty positive about all things Orlando.
Oh, really? Are we talking about the same Shot Doctor?
No, I'm not saying he
hates the magic.
I don't think he hates them.
Some of the things Angel and I have been privy to is just.
But they've given him reason to be upset. Let's be honest.
Unless it's on the air, it doesn't matter.
And he's, what, a Jets fan, I think?
Oh, yeah, he's a Jets fan.
Yeah, so come on.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's later on today with Angel. And then we talked about Walker Stalker a little bit. I mean, you had a good time out there. Had a good crowd.
It was amazing.
Cooper, what a great guy. I told the story yesterday. The best story ever I heard about Cooper was him doing that thing where he had a bunch of friends from elementary school. And you didn't hear this?
No, I didn't hear this.
Oh my God! And I was like, Cooper, why'd you save that for now? And he's laughing. Oh, you didn't hear this?
No,
okay,
I didn't.
So Cooper, who is on The Walking Dead, he plays Jerry.
Jerry, yeah.
On The Walking Dead.
He's in the new Shazam.
New Shazam film.
And obviously, you're a closer friend. So tell us.
No, so I'm talking to his girlfriend. Yeah,
this is what we call classically one-upping.
No,
it's just because Carlos brought us, introduced his friend to us, and now you're trying to.
I'm interested. Well,
you're more friends with Cooper than Carlos is.
No, yeah. Me and Cooper are in the
He's
big guy club.
Friend.
We're big. We're both big guys.
Next month, you can go on Russ and Coop bus.
So Cooper was, he had a bunch of friends that he did a bunch of stuff with, and I was asking about him playing football, and like, no, he didn't play football, but he was on a swim team. Do you hear the story?
I do remember hearing this. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, on the swim team when he was younger, and so they had some kind of a reunion with a bunch of friends from his neighborhood and everything, and they're talking to Cooper, and he's kind of proud of himself, like, he's got on a TV commercial, I'm like, Mikey's got on a TV commercial too, and he's like, oh, Mikey must be like a cameraman or something, because I used to swim with him, and then they're like, yeah, and he talked about another commercial he did. Oh yeah, Mikey's done like three of those and did something for Sports Illustrated. He goes, what does Mikey do? And they're like, you don't know what Mikey do? Mikey Phelps? You don't know what he does? No. What is he? Like, he's still then.
Yeah,
no.
And this doesn't surprise me with Coop.
He's like, no. What's Mikey Phelps doing? He's like, Mikey Phelps is Michael Phelps. You swam with Michael Phelps. And he's like, oh, my. He had no idea.
It doesn't surprise me. Coop lives in a cave.
That is so funny.
That does not surprise me. He should have played football, but he's like a martial arts expert, and that's a dude.
Music, he's into music.
Oh, he's into everything, and it is crazy. That dude signed autographs for, 10 hours straight.
Well, he's very recognized.
Very beloved, and we had a great time. We were all next to each other the whole weekend long. So many Monster fans from all around the country, different parts of the world, flew into Orlando for Walker Stalker, came over, said hello. It was just amazing, man, and very, very, just grateful for it all.
All right, well, good.
Yeah.
I got two here. One is about chicken parm, and one is about getting married.
Come on, man.
Which one you want?
Same thing. Just pick one.
Yeah, two things joining together for awesomeness.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicken and parm.
It's duo day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the combo.
Combo day.
Chicken parm.
Chicken and parmesan.
I'll go I'll save chicken parm for tomorrow.
Chicken parm.
Hey, Monsters, love the show. This Saturday I was working alone.
Would have been lonely.
I was in between appointments and wanted to grab a quick chicken parm at the bar. Of the restaurant.
Do
not make fun of this man. I have done this before.
The manager.
Savage.
I used to get a quick chicken parm before my work started.
He says here the manager refused to serve chicken parm at the bar because it was Saturday night and pointed out that that's what the restaurant was for. The manager said he had to consent to having chicken parm sent to the bar, and he didn't think it would be right. There was no chicken parm.
You have to have consent in your chicken parm.
Especially the little cutlets.
I demanded to get my chicken parm at the bar because I didn't want to sit in there by myself. And then as the manager walked away, I heard him call me an a-hole.
Chicken parm.
Who demands chicken parm?
He says, I'm that kind
of
guy.
I'm sick of fast food, and I just wanted my chicken parm at the bar so I didn't have to have people watching me eat alone in a restaurant.
I get it, bro.
Do restaurants hate it when a guy or a girl comes in and asked to not sit at a table alone? 100%. This is Eric, and he wanted his chicken parm at the bar. Manager told him no. What do you say?
Oh, Eric, brother, pal. Man, this is
my brother in parm.
Yeah, my brother in parm is true. This breaks my melted cheese and breaded chicken heart.
Prime time chicken. Prime time kitchen. Do you eat a nice...
You just said prime time chicken.
I know.
Why would you do that?
I picture this chicken in sunglasses.
Prime time chicken.
You guys need me on the set?
Yeah. Guys, here on the texting service, chicken parm and marriage, two great things that eventually turn to S.
Jimmy, is it okay to have chicken parm at a bar?
I think that's... And look, I would...
I would side with the restaurant owner here. I mean, there's some people that don't. I mean, there are some restaurants you can get the full menu served at the bar because it's so busy. Those are the only opportunities to do it. But then there are some places.
Yeah.
The bar's the bar. They don't want the smell of food at the bar. It just doesn't set the right tone for the entire restaurant.
I get it. And in all honesty, Eric, you have to ask some questions before you order chicken parm. It's just the way you go. You sit down. You look at chicken parm on the menu. If it has a picture of it, maybe you can get an idea of what we're talking about.
To parm or not to parm?
To parm. And also, what kind of chicken are we talking about? Are we talking the round oval patty that you buy 16 to a box at Winn-Dixie?
Or is it like that's not real parm.
Yeah.
That's not real parm.
All right, real quick question, though. Just listen to this guy's situation.
Yeah.
I've come up with $1 million idea.
Uh-huh. What's that? What's
all that? All right. So we have group sourcing for vehicles, right?
Yes.
And we have group sourcing for your homes and everything. How about group sourcing for someone to eat dinner with?
Ooh, that's a great
idea. So you're out to eat.
Like dinner date?
Plus one.
Yeah. Here we go. It's called plus one. You just type in someone local. Hey, just looking to someone to sit down for dinner with me.
No relationship.
No relationship.
Are they going to be hot or no? No.
It's not a dating. So guys like, what's this guy's name?
Eric.
So guys like Eric can have his chicken parm.
He said he's sick and tired of fast food. He wanted like a good meal, but he didn't want to sit in there by himself.
Angel, nobody's listening right now. Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Shut the hell up. This is a fantastic freaking idea, and we're going to get down. I know an app developer.
Okay, cool.
Isn't that just called a first date?
It's just Tinder plus dinner.
Tinder. Angel, dude, you stumbled across something. Because I've been this guy. I've been the guy by myself in a random city ordering chicken parm when everybody else is partying.
And you wanted it at the bar.
I wanted it at the bar.
Because I just wanted to be around social.
Swipe leftovers.
Yes. And I would be sitting there. Leftovers. Eating chicken parm while other people are wings and drinking, and I'm shoving my face, and I ask, and I go, I thought we were having spaghetti, not linguine. And they're like, sir, it's 1 a.m. It's disgusting.
Is Eric out of place for wanting us to eat chicken parm at the bar?
Yeah, depending on the bar, but the bar owner or the restaurant owner says, look, man, that's for the restaurant. You should respect his wishes.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. I mean, having worked in restaurants for a very long time, you do not want that one single person at your table. You have a section, and if it's just being taken up by one person, you're losing out on a lot of money as a server. So you should eat at the bar. So if you have food and you have a bar, restaurants have food at your bar.
Let me tell you what you don't want to do. You don't want to demand your food at the bar, though, because then you're going back to the cook and saying, hey, this a-hole out here is making me serve him chicken parm at the bar. It's going to get drug all over the toilet seat.
So floss with this spaghetti before you send it out.
Yeah, you don't want to make them mad because...
I don't know. I've turned down chicken parm before. When they start explaining how they make it, I'll be like, I'm good. I'll have the zingers.
I'll have the zingers.
That does not make any sense.
Hey, go to our YouTube channel. It's iHeart Monsters Radio on YouTube. You could check out shows from the past couple weeks. Also, there's great videos that Ryan Holmes put together that you'll want to check out at monsters.fm. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. At 3 o'clock, it's the one and only Jim Phillips and the Phil's File. Then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Last with Monster Comics. And we're back tomorrow morning for a Wednesday edition to do our thing. From Dirty Jim, Ryan Holmes, Angel, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, my man, Russ Parm Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Swirls.
Next chance to win your way to our iHeartRadio Music Festival in Vegas is just minutes away on Real Radio 101.1.